The initial allocation was 1.2. We gave them 200 additional funding to increase their capital allocation to 1.4 billion. And then we went a step further to say, let's drill down and see how many departments were this USDA allocated to. So the city of Joburg, they are having 6 departments, and the left side is going to give a breakdown. However, Mangaung, they are having 9 departments. Departments are within the metro whereby they spread the allocation of the USDG. But out of the 6 departments in the city of Joburg, 3 departments are spending very well. However, 3 departments are not spending. So there's a 50% there of the departments. However, when you look at Mangaung, they've got 9. So the whole of USDG is spread amongst the 9 departments. And all of those departments are not doing very well. So that is the financial performance. So that's why we are sitting with the 100%. Now, the next slide is giving us the synopsis of the performance of the departments within the city of Joburg. So in the city of Joburg, we are having a human settlement. We've got city power, we've got Joburg water, Joburg sewer, and then we've got Johannesburg Development Agency, we've got Johannesburg Road Agency. So these are the departments and the allocation of the 1.4 billion. So we can see that the biggest allocation, which is 56%, more than 50%, is allocated to human settlements. That is a good thing because we know that human settlements, that's where the basic services are. And then you can see Jefferson, the one that we have highlighted in red, are the ones that are struggling. Human settlements, they're sitting in 788 of the allocation. But as of the day, 1st of May, that they spent 24%. So it means that 477 million within the 788 is still needs to be spent within 1 month. Included in the 477 is the additional 200 million because it was reimbursed for 2 projects, which is the tripartite and what is flow off and the rate.
Yes.
So that's how we spread because we received additional requests that these 3 projects, they need additional funding, so hence the additional 200 million. So however, the challenge that we are sitting with, and I think when Mr. Popi is talking about those departments, the committee will be able to see the spread within which areas and which ones, which projects are not doing very well within the human settlement. But it's the biggest because the underspend is 506 and 437 is the biggest one. Now, the other one, that is carrying 13% of the allocation of the 1.4 billion is the Johannesburg Development Agency. However, when you look at the Johannesburg Development Agency, they are carrying 13%, however, their expenditure is sitting at 69, so it's not bad. However, and then when you look at the Johannesburg Roads Agency, so the roads, they are carrying 3%, even though they are carrying 3%, which is 45 million allocation, but they will spend only 6 million. So even though the road agency is carrying the least allocation, but their performance is not looking very good. So we went a step further to look at the project within this 3, the one that we are saying that at risk. When we looked at the risk part, we said under the Johannesburg, so under the human settlement department, we've got 30 projects. Then out of the 30 projects, 21 projects that are carrying, that has been allocated 411 million, they haven't spent a cent for the 11 months. The only project within the 30 that are moving very well, they are 2. Then there is this 7 projects that have already started spending. So they're sitting between 80 and 85%. The reason why we are using the 85% is because we are left with 1 month into the financial year. So hence we said, let us use the threshold of the 5%. The reason why we are drilling more on the project is at the MINMEC. Minister and the MINMEC said we need to go down to the project basis. Hence today I've got one of the project managers, Usin Piwe, is with me. He's the one who went to this metro because we said we want to see what are the challenges, what is actually happening on the ground. Because we don't want to see money being spent and there is no work on the ground. Hence, this synopsis that we are putting here is showing that the money that is spent, we can see that there are 2 moving projects that are absorbing the expenditure under the human settlements within the city of Joburg. And the other expenditure is sitting under 7 projects. However, there are these other projects that are sitting in there that are not moving at all. Then when you go to JDA, JDA, they've got only two projects with their allocation, and both this project, one is doing very well and the other one has started. So from where we are sitting, there's no high risk within the money that's allocated to the Johannesburg Development Agency. But when we look at the Johannesburg Road Agency, because this is one that we had to visit the project, Johannesburg Road Agency is allocated 25 million, then they've got four projects. When we look at the four projects, most of their projects they have just started because they're sitting between 0 and 35. But there is one project that is allocated for the Johannesburg Road Agency that hasn't kicked off. There's no expenditure. So when we look at the red party that we are putting down there, we are saying from where we are sitting as a national department, when we do the USDG for the city of Jobe, there is over 400 million that is at risk that won't be spent by end of the financial year. Then on the bottom, we are giving an analysis of those projects to say that human settlement, we looked at five non-performing projects that are sitting under the department human settlement, and you can see that there is Riverside. It hasn't even spent a cent on the allocation. Then we've got Madala Hostel, and then there is the township establishment for area social aid, and then there's the step street, the new palace infrastructure, then there's also the Dubo Hostel. So these are some of the projects that are allocated the USDG within the human settlement. Then the JDA, we are saying it's not a risk, because we are aware to see that the biggest allocation was put under the Orange Farm Urban Renewal Project, and you can see that that one is moving because the allocation is 171 and that is it's not true. However, when you look at the Johannesburg Road Agency, those are the four projects that are sitting under 25%. Hence, I said that with the Johannesburg Road Agency, there were challenges because they started late implementing their project. So we are not saying that it's risk because they have already appointed the service provider, so they will be eligible to apply for the rollover because the service provider are there, but their project has started very late in the year. The next summary is giving the informal settlement upgrading partnership fund. So this is another grant. The total allocation for City of Jobe for the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant is 684 or 685 million to all. Now, the way that they allocate this one is not department, they use region. So they've got region A and from region A until region G. The allocation of the informal settlement is based on region. You can see that the biggest allocation for the informal settlement within the city of Jobe is region C, which is your Rodeo Port Landstreet. That's where the Landstreet is, and that is the biggest informal settlement. And you can see that out of the 684, 373 or 374 million is allocated to the Rodeo Port region. And then there is expenditure there. There is work on the ground because there's been 207. So out of the expenditure of the 266, the biggest expenditure is sitting under region C, and most of them is on the Landstreet. Now, the second one that is sitting with the highest allocation on the informal settlement is your El Dorado Park, your Orange Farm, whereby the allocation of 192 million, and that one is not, and the expenditure also is well there, is sitting at 182. However, when you look at Region 8, this load and mid-range, they haven't spent a cent. Then when you look at Soweto Region, the allocation for Soweto was 24 million, 25 million to round it off. And then they have six projects. And then there's only one project that is sitting over 65%. And then when you look at the projects that are not spending under Soweto, three projects there, they haven't even started the implementation of spending there. When you look at the inner city, they've allocated 56 million. And the number of projects for the inner city, there are four. And then out of the whole four, three projects they haven't even started spending. Only one project has spent from 85%, and then there's no project that is above 85%. So, Chairperson and members, when we look at the informal settlement upgrading partnership plan, we are able to see that the projects are moving within your region G, which is El Dorado Park and Orange Park, because there are 66 projects that are over 85%. Then, when you look at the other regions, in Rodupur, out of five projects, four projects have already started, only one project. And then the other one, the inner city, the heaven, there's no project that is sitting on the 85. So we are saying that when you look at the financials, you can see that the one that we have highlighted in red, because the heaven even started failing. If there is no contractor on site or there is no commitment, then when you look at the presentation from the metro, it's going to give us the synopsis, whether they started or they are already procuring. So that's where we are saying this is high risk, because if there is no commitment, it means this money will have to go back to the revenue fund, because there is no commitment that is dealing with the procurement process. So that is the, what we are putting forward for the city of Jobe. Then I'm going to talk to the Mangaung Chairperson. Mangaung, we know that Mangaung is under the national intervention. They will talk to the intervention themselves. And the performance of Mangaung is not good. I think throughout the year we have been talking about it and how to intervene and assist Mangaung. There was the war room went to try and assist Mangaung. And I know that the honorable member will be asking us about Mangaung, because the last time she did ask us about Mangaung, and I'm happy today that Mangaung is here, Chairperson. They will be able to respond to all the questions that have been put forward to us. But Mangaung, as we are sitting here, they said in a letter to the national department, because they've got procurement challenges, I'm trying to wrap up the biggest challenge that is facing Mangaung, but then we talk to it. They requested to participate within the national department panel. But even though we agreed, the national treasurer said no, we cannot participate within the national. Remember, we are using the PFMA, they are using the MFMA, and according to the MFMA, there is another circular or an instruction note or regulation that they must marry it to it. So when they looked at it, it was going to make it difficult for them to participate. So what they were advised to do is to go back to the drawing board and proceed and review their procurement process. So that's why the performance looks like this. It doesn't mean that they did not try to implement the project. I think the plan that they had was to participate within the panel, because they couldn't proceed with their own procurement, but unfortunately it was not allowed by the national treasurer. So that's why the status is not great. But the biggest contributor there, I'm going to start from the down, is the rollover. We all know that Mangaung last financial year, they did not spend most of their grants. They were given a rollover of 125 million. 125 million is carrying 20% of the grant. But the expenditure on the rollover is sitting at 40%. Now, I think Mangaung will be able to explain to say, why are we not spending on the rollover? Because the rollover is based on that there were commitments at the end of that financial year. But that is the one that is carrying the biggest load. So from the 125, we've got 89 million that is not spent. The challenge with the rollover is that there's no rollover of a rollover. So if within this 1 month the 89 million is not spent, this money will get back to the revenue fund, because if the rollover, we cannot roll over it. Then the other one that is carrying the biggest is the roads and stormwater. It's carrying the biggest allocation. And roads and stormwater, they are spending on that. But they will talk to it. The biggest spending in Mangaung is the road, is the refilling of the road. That's the one that is changing and that is changing, the refilling of the road. But when you look at the waste and fleet, they're not even doing very well there. The roads and fleet, they haven't spent a cent, and the budget, it was increased during the midterm budget adjustment. They were sitting at 19 million, they increased it to 67 million. But they haven't even spent a cent on that one. So that is the challenge that they're having with Mangaung when it comes to the DG. And I think, Chair, the number of projects, I don't have to dwell much because the theory is carried from what I said. But here it's giving us the number of projects, and we can see which projects that are spending and then which ones that are not spending. So on the road and stormwater, we can see that there are two projects that are doing very well. As I said, is the refilling of the road, and then the other project that has started. And then when you look at waste and fleet as well, there's no project that has already started there. Most of the other good projects, nine, and all those projects they have not spent the time. When you look at the rollover, they have 15 projects on the rollover, and then only six have started spending between 0 and 85%, and then there's nothing above the 85% threshold. The same story goes to the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant. The informal settlements, we know that throughout the year, 75 million has been taken from the Mangaung and subsequently reallocated to the city of Cape Town. However, even though the allocation has been reduced by 75 million, that's 75 million, and of which we are just hoping that maybe with this last month into the financial year, we can get the procurement being kicked in so that most of this money can be committed. Because if the funds are not committed by end of June, we are going to lose. But however, we know that with the metropolitan municipalities, there is an MSMA circular. The circular has got a whole lot of requirements when it comes to the rollover. So we will sit down with the metro and look how we can improve and make sure that this fund, we have a meeting with the National Treasury, because some of these funds, the metro did receive a letter from Mangaung, from the National Treasury, to look at certain projects. So we are hoping that the National Treasury will come on board and assist us that. Because they are the ones who said Mangaung should focus on this project, then we'll be able to make sure that the funds are not lost back to the fiscal. But this is the status of the Mangaung Chief of the Member States. I know it's not a good story to tell, but thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Joe. I told you can't hear us, Mr. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Member. Thank you for the leadership of National Chair. Yeah, this is the time where I'm asking, maybe I'll ask the question as to, are there any questions? Chair, thank you very much, and it's of fiscal importance for us to take you through. What we've done is that we've highlighted the information in terms of where we're coming from and where we're going to. And Chair, I will touch on the critical slides that would tell a story in terms of where Joburg is. Chair, we started from 2018-2019, indicating the threshold in terms of where we've been for the USDG that has been allocated. Safe to say that, Chair, the city only suffered challenges around 2019-2020, but in the last financial period, we spent everything that we allocated. There was no rollover. And in 2020-2021, we spent 96.4%. And, Chair, it's a story that one should replicate while I'm presenting to be able to align with the processes and to take out confidence with regard to the previous presentation in terms of the story of how we'll get there. And Chair, we also need to talk to the issues of how we fared or performed in terms of the last 4 years. Including the MTSF targets that we have set for ourselves, taking into account that we had pledged to issue 10,500 title deeds. We've now issued in excess of that number, which is 11,000. In terms of the sites and services, we targeted 2657. We only achieved 150 and would allude to how we recover in terms of that matter. In terms of the kilometers of roads, the target is 56 kilometers, we're sitting at 48. So this is where the money is going. And one needs to also make a submission that we don't use the USDG or any grants to be able to fund title deeds, registration and issuance. We use the city's corpus of funding to be able to give dignity to our residents. Chair, we also note that we had to meter or provide households with water connections. The target was 37,000. We are looking to achieve that target because we're sitting at 35,000 or rounded off to 36,000. And the number of areas provided with electricity, we targeted 2.3, we're sitting at 2,000 share. And the number of additional households to free basic electricity, as we know that we need to be providing free basic electricity, will surpass that number. We're sitting at 800 out of a target of 500. And the streetlight share, we are targeted to install 1,000. We've increased based on that number, or we surpassed that number, Chair. Chair, the reason why I'm telling this story is to indicate what we've done with the funding that was allocated to ourselves. And the next slide will talk to what are we doing in terms of making sure that we do what is necessary and make sure that we don't violate the processes, and including what we have under the guidelines of MFMA. Chair, one is to indicate that the USPG, which is the ISO grant, started in the last financial period. We allocated $629 million to make sure that we turn around the process of people living in informal settlements and ensure that their lives are changed and they live in a heavy community. So we spend the entire budget, Chair. And also, Chair, one needs to add that the informal settlements upgrading program is done with our communities or the people who are living within those areas to make sure that whatever we develop or whatever we agree in terms of the layout, how they're going to be laid, and the provision of services, we work together with them. Once they agree and sign off, we are able to move forward and provide the service. Where there's disagreement, we realign ourselves with that. But pleased to say that, Chair, the city up to 2016 had 181 informal settlements. Those settlements are the recognized settlements within the city, and we've now received an approval from council in March that we can turn those informal settlements into formalized townships, and hence the delay or some of the paralysis in terms of the projects that we presented to say that those projects are not moving or there's no funding that has been spent. But I'll talk to its chair as well. Chair, I also need to all indicate that we now have in the city of Johannesburg 312 informal settlements from 2016 when we had 181. Chair, in terms of the funding that was allocated last financial period, we've made sure that we had to make a difference in terms of the households, and there were six areas that we had to make a change or provide the necessary services to the households. And the number of households that had an impact is within five informal settlements, and the issue is that the rugby club is one of the informal settlements where we've turned the informal settlement into an area which is habitable. People have got collected water into their tent, and people have got electricity. But the pictures would depict the picture of what I'm talking to now. Chair, we also indicate Zandspruit Extension 84. As we know, that Zandspruit is an area that has never received services or an upgrading in their space. We have put our resources, like Lucy, the CFO, when she presented about Zandspruit, saying that we're spending $200 million. That $200 million is worth changing the lives of Zandspruit people and decanting and allowing them to stay in a good space. Chair, these are some of the work that we are doing on the ground in terms of land bridge to make sure that people have a habitable area, and we're doing 701 sites to make sure that people will build their own houses. They'll have services within their sense. Chair, in terms of the informal settlement upgrading program for 21-22 in terms of water connections, I can also indicate that we've made a difference to 4,125 beneficiaries or households within our state. Chair, we've got Rizik, and I'm glad to indicate that in the last sessions or discussions with the human settlements, they indicated that they need some verification that the picture that we're taking or making or putting forward is not a picture that is taken from another municipality. So we've made sure that it's an aerial photograph, and it's got a date and a description of where it is, where we're doing services, so that we can indicate the change. So it's provided for within the presentation, Chair, so that we're not just talking but we're showing results. Chair, this is the rugby club that I was alluding to. This area never had services. People have got water in that area or stands so that they are able to control what they consume and what they're getting out of the city. Chair, we also indicate that there's electricity that has been connected, like I indicated in the previous slide. Giving connections or electricity connections to 3,561 households, and this is how we've changed. Chair, I'll also talk to the 22-23 budget. We originally had 6.8 billion. That 6.8 billion was reduced to 6.5 billion purely because 300 million was coming out of our cash, and we know that people or households, their income is not stable, others have lost their jobs, and we are unable to collect as a city. And I think we've been all over the news to say that the city is suffering in terms of cash. We have to reprioritize our budget from 6.8 billion to 8.5 billion to make sure that we don't commit to things that we cannot deliver, and hence the allocation. And Chair, the 6.5 billion includes what the city raises as cash, and we also include what we have as national grants, as well as our USDG and USP program, hence the 6.5 billion. But one needs to confirm that within human settlements, we're getting about 2.1 billion out of the 6 billion. So there's an investment level from the city. Chair, the allocation has been allocated, and the national has provided the funds to ourselves. With the 200 million that we've received in March, that has an impact on our spending patterns. That's why the spending pattern reduced from 43% to about 39%, or 40% rounded off. This slide has been presented by the CFO to indicate who gets the biggest share, and we are aligned share. Safe to say that human settlement had 500, and it has been increased by 200 to 788, and it's the biggest receiving department within the city, and that had an impact in terms of the spending pattern. Chair, these are the projects that have been presented by the CFO. I won't dwell much into it, but safe to say that most of the projects where there's non-spending is roads projects, where that the implementing agent, JRA, is implementing. But Chair, we have suffered a lot of setbacks or realignment, hence the funding that you see that our revised budget is purely based on the cash flows that were given by our entity. We are having challenges with SMEs, or the rates that are being charged by those who are assisting them in the area, because of the demanding rates that are unaffordable based on the BOQ or bill of quantities that we receive, and therefore some of the contractors pull out of the project purely because they're indicating that it's unaffordable. In one project, for instance, in Bravisha V, that project has been paralyzed for the past 2 years purely because the SMEs and the construction mafias out there, they're demanding what is unaffordable. We've changed three contractors, we're on the fourth now. And there's another issue that we had originally planned the project to be at 105, now it's sitting at 140. So we requested an assessment from what we call our GFIS, which is our group forensics, to be able to ascertain whether we're not spending money or putting money into a pit, so that we are able to be taken care of, or we are responsible in terms of how we spend. Chair, the CFO has alluded to the fact that roads and stormwater is a challenge. Hence, you see that we had 223 million, only 96 was spent, and therefore we have requested a Johannesburg Roads Agency to indicate in terms of cash flows for the end of the month how far they will be, so that the money can be spent elsewhere without being rolled over. Chair, in terms of our water program, we've exceeded what was allocated. We were sitting at 100 million at the budget, we've exceeded that. In terms of sanitation, in terms of the various areas, we're also looking good in terms of us having to spend funding or upgrading our infrastructure, the Northern Works and the Bush Coffee, so that people have access to sanitation. Chair, allow me to also indicate that the 100 million that's allocated for electricity is for bulk electricity in flare-offs, that's the bus station that we're building, to make sure that the surrounding areas get access to electricity, as well as the units that we're building in this project. In terms of the informal settlements upgrading program, Chair, we have one of the areas called Kwamaimai, which is in Chippis Town, where the family... that's where people buy makatakata so that they can energize themselves and be strong. So Chair, one needs to also indicate that we don't only prioritize areas, we service all the regions or areas within our region, Chair. And in terms of challenges, We have alluded to the issue of projects that have been paralyzed or had challenges, one of them being Capital Proper. Bram Fischer have alluded to in terms of the contractors and the value that is spending. Clear Rock is an issue of accessing additional funding. We've been given additional funding through the adjustment, the 200 million. But Chair, I also need to indicate that some of these projects, it's like a drop in the ocean because of the funding that is required. So it needs more funding to be escalated. Lakeside, the CFO has spoken to some of the projects that are moving and some that are not moving. The contractor had to submit an extension of time in Lakeside due to the disputes or challenges that they have, whether CLOs or SMMEs or the construction mafias involving plants that they need to be providing, and the plant is very expensive. Lehigh, we had fired a development agent because of they were not performing. City Power has taken over that work for them to be able to complete. The roads issue, Chair, I've alluded to, but safe to say that when a process collapses, when you go out on tender, it takes you at least 4 months or 8 months to be able to revive or reprocure or get a contractor on the ground. Chair, I won't talk to most of these issues, but Cosmos City Malebongwe, we are having a challenge with encroachment, people that are on the way of the project, but I also need to indicate that Malebongwe Ridge, we finally are going to electrify that area. Since 2015 to date, Eskom has been at its own peril without assisting the city, but we are going to now construct electricity and make sure that people have got access to energy. Okay, I also need to indicate that the city's spending as of the end of April has improved from the 39%, now it was at 45%. And Chair, in terms of the output for this financial period, the title of this process, we're looking at 1,200 compared to the 3,000 target. But another issue, Chair, is that some of the targets that we have not finalized or indicated on the slide is purely because we regard them as yearly targets, and we're going to reconcile and finalize them by the end of June, so that we can reflect how we spend on them. Title this because of its one issue, the households we are able to measure. Chair, I also need to indicate the settlements that we need to be upgrading or they should have been upgraded to phase three. That cancer resolution that we only got in March, that should have been in November last year, had an impact in terms of approval of plans, but we are not going to stop, we are going to roll them out. So in terms of USPG, the project that Lucy referred to, it's purely because of the planning processes that had to be finalized or approved so that we can spend the funding for the designs and make sure that the township is approved and we lay the infrastructure as required. Chair, I can also indicate that we're looking at various areas in the south. Orange Farm, that's one area that she's referred to. We're talking to areas like Farm Road Report, Resin Catering, Patrin Vigilance, which is next to Trade Group Mall. We're talking about Porky, the dark city of Porky. The area has been dark for the longest of time, but we're now changing and providing services. For Hospital Hill, Meriting, Eichenhof, Slovo Park, Protea South, and Lakeview. Okay. I also need to indicate that the areas in the inner city, as Lucy has referred to, were impacted or affected by the issues of the approval by council, so the planning department can assist us with approval of our detailed engineering designs, as well as ensuring that our layout plans are endorsed, as we've agreed or discussed with the communities, as well as the record of decisions that we've received. We had to link that to approval of our planning department. And we need to also indicate that EIA, which is our environmental impact studies, have been done, and in some areas we've been exempted. And taking of sense has been approved with the community for us to be able to reblock and now finalize the planning processes to be able to move forward with the township. Chair, I need to also indicate that the funding, the additional funding that has been received is being spent in flare-off for us to be able to do the bulk water pipeline and make sure that we provide additional capacity in terms of water. Chair, this is the substation that I was alluding to in terms of electricity. In terms of electricity, in flare-off, that's the bulk infrastructure that we're laying in there. And the link in terms of the units that are there so that we are able to provide security, electricity. Cold Rant is another mega project, Chair. That's where we're spending our USDG. They are doing site and services for us. They're looking at 457. By the end of the financial period, there's going to be a claim that is certified to be able to deal with the underspending. Chair, I'll move quickly. Chair, I've alluded to the roads and stormwater issues, but this is the breakdown in terms of what we've done and where the process is in terms of the various areas within our space. In Lakeside, Chair, we've indicated that we lost 4 months, but these are the pictures that shows what we are doing in terms of sidewalks as well as construction of the infrastructure, the road network in the area. In terms of transport, Chair, we don't use USDG because of the PTNG. That's meant to assist us in terms of our transport network and ensuring that people are ferried from one area to the other. Chair, for the 2022-23 financial period, what has been done as per the third quarter in terms of additional water service connection or point, the target is 1.4. We take note that we've done 437, but Joburg Water has indicated that once they connect and tie in and link to the infrastructure, the number would increase and the target would be achievable. The same applies to sanitation points. It's a tying in and connecting to the network so that that number of households can get access. Chair, in terms of water and sanitation around the south of Joburg, and I need to emphasize this issue, the Sidibeng sewer network is a challenge for us because of we are unable to connect, and without that sewer network, it paralyzes a lot of projects or development in and around the south. We've looked at an alternative to have a package plant that will be connected to the sewer network when Sidibeng is ready to assist us, so that we don't paralyze or frustrate the process or project in and around that area. Chair, I'll move a little bit faster. In terms of Chair, solid waste and ensuring that people get access, we had a target, sorry, target of 1,449. We've achieved that target. In terms of the waste minimization or upgrade, we had three. We've managed one as of the second quarter, and the number of households living in formal areas to be connected to waste, the solid waste removal service. We've done 169,000 as per the target. Chair, I also need to indicate that additional households or formal areas connected to electricity is about 672 as of the second quarter, purely because of the bulk infrastructure that needs to be laid and connections will be done. For instance, we need to be connecting 800 households in Kwamaimai. The infrastructure has been laid and the connections are ongoing. And in terms of a number of households provided with basic electricity, and Chair, I was told to emphasize this issue that there are those who are unable to fend for themselves or provide services for themselves. The city is providing free basic electricity so that people, households can have access to that service. And as the second quarter, we've achieved far beyond the 85,000 that we had spent. We're sitting at 104,000. And streetlight, Chair, I've alluded to the MTSF target for this financial period, we're sitting at 279 against the target of 879. Chair, I don't want to repeat the earlier issues, but safe to say that in terms of the MTSF target, the city is looking good, and we are able to ensure that we move and make a difference to our people or our households. Chair, the CFO is presented in terms of the funding element for our UST. We have a business plan that we align to in terms of our spending patterns and what we deliver on the ground. So this financial and non-financial items indicate exactly what we've done thus far, including the areas that we want to formalize or that we are going to formalize and re-block or realign. Chair, I won't dwell much into this, but safe to say that we've got 349 million that has been spent, and we still have another 334, I need to give comfort to the CFO that most of the work is being done. It needs to be certified so that we are able to pay for it. And once planning is approved or finalized, the designs that they've received in terms of areas to be developed as well as township approval would make a difference to the spending patterns. It's reconciliations that we need to finalize and make sure that work is done. I've alluded to the issues of duct city of 4K, the area that has been done for the longest of time. We're providing water installation as well as ensuring that there's electricity. Cape Town is an area that was affected by the floods as well, Chair. We've made sure that we provide water and we realign and we provide services or provide structures for those people to live in a habitable manner. This is Farm Brody Port, Chair. This, the infrastructure and the internal reticulation has been done in terms of electricity. But Chair, we have a challenge with the communities living in and around the area. They are saying, not in my backyard. You should not bring these people here. And it's a legal challenge that we are fighting through our lawyers, Chair. So these are some of the issues that are keeping us at bay. Chair, we've spoken to Runfrey Extension 84. These are the pictures that show the roads that we've done and the difference that we're making to our people. Chair, in terms of title deeds, I've alluded to the issue, but safe to say that we're now concentrating in the area called Alex. There's an audit that is unfolding to make sure that whoever we transfer to is the rightful beneficiary. As you know, that Alex had bigger stands and they were subdivided. We need to make sure that we don't give one stand or the entire real estate to one person, and you find that there's four families living there and people are evicted the following day or within a period of a month. So, Chair, these are the areas that we're doing audits currently, and we'll be able to make sure that we issue title deeds accordingly. Chair, there's also areas that we've proclaimed, and these areas, that's where we're going to be effecting transfers to make sure that things change and people have a reason to ownership, and they will show that through the title deeds that they have, and they can participate in the economy. We know that people like building a back room for them to earn income. Chair, we've also indicated or added what we call our NIS registry. Within Gauteng, we know for a fact that we've got 235,000 people approved on the HSS, which is our national need, national housing need registry. And Chair, we want to zoom into Joburg. Joburg, we need to indicate that in terms of the need registry, if we were to build houses today for people who are in the 97-99 housing waiting list, the balance that we have currently is about 15,000. Those that have been approved and are waiting houses. Those that are waiting or have not been assessed, that's about 35,000. So in essence, if we were to build houses for that group, we need 50,000 houses. And for the 1996-90 process, there's about 36,000 households that have been approved, and we need to build the 36,000 houses for those beneficiaries to be taken off the waiting list. And we've got 65,000 that have not been assessed, whether they qualify or not. So in essence, Chair, if we were to add the two numbers, we're saying 50,000 houses should be built in Joburg immediately, and about 100,000 people we owe beneficiaries we still need to assess. Chair, in terms of counter land invasion, I need to indicate yourselves that we've got various departments who are working on this process. Human settlement, our asset owner, which is Johannesburg Property Company, our area management that we call CRAM, that has inspectors who are deployed throughout the region to make sure that we are aligned and we know exactly what's happening in our areas. Our development planning that would confirm the status in terms of what we call GIS to locate whether the area is owned by us or is owned by government or various departments. As well as our group legal and contracts who get what we call interdicts for us to be able to stop those who are invading, and it will give a muscle to JMPD for them to be able to evict or demolish the structures that have been illegally built. Chair, we showed the areas that we had challenges with and we still have challenges. It's done great. Our rugby club that I was talking to, but the numbers in rugby club are minimal because of there was only 15 that we had to deal with. And we also had areas like Devland, Wollinadia, Kaya Sands, and the High, But in terms of roles and responsibilities, Chair, we've got regional heads that are deployed throughout the area, and people have to, those regional heads have to report to the inspectors as well as the hotline that has been set, so that the area can be dealt with immediate effect and without delaying or having to find ourselves in a very bad light. We've also shared the numbers that have been allocated or responsibilities allocated to the regional head. Chair, we also indicate that there's a hotline in terms of our property company, the person that can be contacted to assess the ownership of the property that is being invaded, so that we are able to locate the owner and deal with the issues correctly. I've alluded to the issues of our CRAM event management that deals with people who or inspectors who create and conduct awareness in terms of assisting communities to make sure that areas are not illegally invaded. Chair, we have our JMPD that acts who are in the custodians of the radio room when the issues of invasion and the issues of killing those invasions. Chair, I don't want to dwell much on this, but safe to say that our group legal and contracts obtain permanent conviction to eviction orders to be able to prohibit people from invading our land. Chair, with that, I'll also show the feature. This is a process or a process flow in terms of how we cap or deal with land invasion. It's about three slides. Chair, if one was given an opportunity to indicate in terms of what's happening with Alex, I need to indicate that HDA has been appointed as an as a program manager for us to be able to link our Frankenwald, which is a new development under planning stage. Linksfield, the developer is there. We're finalizing approval, as well as the Alex CC, where we are finalizing land purchases to consolidate and develop Alex. So in essence, we're looking at about 50,000 housing opportunities that have been consolidated in the three areas. Chair, with that, I would request that I step off and indicate that I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Robert.
But it's warm here.
Yeah, we can move to the back.
Oh, that's fine. But I think you're directly on that.
But in brief, I'll just talk about the fact that we currently have an acting executive mayor and acting mayoral committee. This team was appointed in April 2023 for 3 months. So by July, we need to go to go back to council to appoint one who will last until the end of September, which is the next time. 2.5 years mark. And we also, as you already know, as was alluded to by the CFO, we are under section 1397 of national intervention, myself included. I come from the National Department of COPTA and NISA, supporting the municipality. We were seconded here for 6 months. This went beyond 6 months with last year, April. On the 21st of April 2022 to date, and our term is supposed to come to an end at the end of this month. So that is we're supposed to have now appointed a city manager, but the processes were interdicted, which means now they have to start from the bottom on up, meaning there won't be an appointment of a city manager for at least the next 2 months. The same with the appointment of HOD, permanent HOD. We are unable to appoint as it stands because we still have not appointed a city manager as we have hoped to appoint one. And then, as you can see, this is the outline of our presentation that I'm going to take us through everything as it stands there. And I'd like also to mention, I was just mentioning it to Ndatekopi now that we had a lot of challenges in terms of land invasion, and the way that they are dealing with it as the city of Johannesburg is something that we are hoping to learn from, with the assistance obviously of the National Department of Human Services to allow us to benchmark from them and take that better. Thank you so much. Over to you again, through your agreement to this thing.
Before we start, human settlement, we have deployed samples from Mangaung. Why this person is to Mangaung? Where is that person? Why is not here?
Chairperson, I thought colleagues, when they were presenting apologies, they were going to maybe indicate or apologize, send an apology, because there is an acting city manager that has been seconded by the department in Mangaung. Maybe if colleagues can assist as to what was their position. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, Didi. My apologies, Chairperson. Indeed, there is a candidate who was seconded to Mangau as acting HOD of Human Settlements, and as of when we appointed the acting executive mayor and his mayoral committee in April this year, there were also changes, which meant I had to take over from the position and she had to take over from the former city manager, who had asked to be recused of his duties as the acting city manager. So in that, it meant she now has to act as the city manager and I take over as planning and human settlement. My apologies for that. Thank you very much.
Yes, maybe Chair, further to that point, because of the council meeting that is planned for tomorrow to discuss the budget, that's one of the reasons why the acting city manager is not discussed. Chairperson, I think as we have indicated in our presentation outline, we have attempted to respond to the issues that the portfolio committee requested that the city must present on. And I think what the HOD, the acting HOD, has presented is the status of the municipality, and which I think in summary one can say we are probably dealing with a dysfunctional municipality, and now which then leads to both council and administrative instability, and this ultimately leads to the deteriorating state standard of living, as well as service delivery failures, and which I think is what our presentation would try to outline. And I think as the acting HOD has indicated, all the senior management positions became vacant due to the lapse of the contract of the fixed term contract. And we're currently having this interim management team, seconded from national departments. We also have the national cabinet representative, which is a multidisciplinary team which was appointed by national treasury, to implement the mandatory recovery plan. And the team has been in Mangaung since the 21st of April 2022 until further notice. And I think as the acting HOD has already indicated, we currently are having the acting executive mayor as well as the acting mayoral committee, and which in the next 3 months, I think in the next 2 months, council will have to reconvene and bring stability to council by appointing the full-time council officials. The acting city manager and acting HODs are also acting, and we have to also appoint. Chair, in terms of the human settlement in Mangaung, we've got five sub-directorates that are working with core responsibilities. We've got the informal settlement and beneficiary management, which is responsible mainly for upgrading of informal settlement. Then you have project management, which also the unit is responsible for all the projects of human settlement. And then we've got mixed youth, mixed development and rental, wherein they are responsible for the catalytic project as well as the mixed house use development, land and property management, as well as the stakeholder management and dispute resolution, which they facilitate stakeholder engagement. Chair, the capital for the 22-23 capital budget breakdown, this is how the city capital budget of 1.3 billion is made up, and quite clearly the city capital budget is grant funded. It's mainly dependent on grants because our own revenue only constitutes 16% of that. Now, Chair, we have the USDG, which is the main capital fund in Mangaung, and which I think in terms of the framework it supplements the capital revenues of the city, and there are those outcomes that we have to promote in line with the grant framework, and then there are those outputs which we are actually expected to fund out of the USDG, and we can indicate, Chair, that in the allocation for service, the Metro has tried to align its allocation for service in line with the grant framework, and I think we will indicate this as we deal with the allocation per se. Like we have indicated, Chairperson, our Metro is dependent on the grant for its capital budget as well as the investment on new infrastructure, and this is a challenge which I think the council as well as the administrative leadership with the deployed capacity are beginning to address, looking at the mandatory recovery plan, because we are looking at increasing our revenue streams so that we are not necessarily dependent on grants for funding of our capital budget. And like we have already indicated, that the USDG the largest, followed by ISUPG and public transport. In terms of the allocation, and I think as CFO indicated, the largest allocation went to our engineering services, which roads and stormwater with 25%, water 17%, sanitation 18%. One of the biggest challenges that the city also leadership needs to address chair and members of the committee moving forward is that the city has been focusing on repairs and maintenance instead of investing in new infrastructure or renewing the current assets, and which is something that needs to be addressed moving forward. Secondly, we have had an instance where these allocations were used outside of the grant framework, like paying salaries of employees or paying for bulk services, which is not the intention of the grant. And also, with the previous presentation, I think from the city of Johannesburg, they were able to show their contribution in terms of the MTSF target, and that this has been a very serious challenge for the city to contribute to the MTSF target, because we have not been providing the services because of the dysfunctionality of our municipality, because of the instability in council and executive management team. So, and then the city is actually proposing to have moving forward a grant management unit so that it can then address these shortcomings that we have raised about. So this is, Chair, I think the allocation facilities, as the CFO had already indicated, and this were the expenditure percentages at the 30th of April, and which with what she has presented was until the 31st of May, and there is not much improvement on that because of the challenges that we have raised, Chair. We should, Chair, by now, year-to-date budget target, we should have, by end of April, should have spent almost 409 million, but we were at 259 million, and which then represented 53%, and then 47% was unspent. Chair, we also tried to show the expenditure trend from the previous years. The city was doing quite well, and we definitely have to revisit those good lessons that we're doing and make sure that we improve our performance. Because at the present moment, because of the instability both at council and management, our performance is very, very, very poor, and it has led to some of the challenges that we are going to raise now. And here also, Chair, we were just trying to demonstrate to the committee that indeed we did apply for rollover in previous years, and we have had approvals in some of the other years. There were those other years wherein we had did not succeed in getting the rollover, but also we did receive additional funding in some of the years where we are performing quite well, and in other years where we were not quite performing well, we have lost money. Three financial years, and which this chair is a very serious concern. And I think as the CFO has indicated, it's one of the issues that we're looking at the current expenditure, looking at the conditions of the rollover, that we might not be a possible candidate for the rollover application because, one, we don't have a permanent city manager, we don't have a permanent CFO, and which is one of the conditions. If we can't commit, if we can't demonstrate that the funds are committed to projects, Obviously, this presents a very serious challenge to the unspent funds at the present moment. Chair, we also want to throw in a spanner in some of our challenges, is that during the midterm review, we had received correspondence from both national department as well as national treasury because of the poor performance of the metro, and with the intention to withhold as well as the intention to stop the allocation to the city, and subsequent to that, we had to write to both the department as well as national treasury and present our recovery plan. The department was not happy with our recovery plan, and we were busy working on the recovery. And in the midst of that, then Treasury as well intervened and by reallocating some of the money that were linked to projects in the business plan, and which this also created a bit of a challenge of where we are now in terms of our expenditure. And I think as the CFO indicated, we lost 75 million of the ISUPG. This was purely because of poor performance and a clear indication that we might not be able to fully spend the grants by the end of the financial year. And Chair, like we are indicating, we also then received a directive from National Treasury in the midst of the city trying to work with the National Department on the recovery plan, wherein National Treasury then reallocated and repurposed money that was allocated to the project in the business plan, and which then they, because of the sewage spillages and the other challenges at Freedom Square, they then said the metro must reallocate 80 million towards addressing some of the challenges of sewage replacing and refurbishing of bulk and connector infrastructure, the rehabilitation of some of the roads, and also that the remaining funds must be also utilized to procure critical fleet, because some of our departments had been faced during the application of the rollover why we needed this rollover. And Chair, here, this is where the 67.4, wherein I think the CFO indicated that our waste and fleet budget was increased from 19 million to 67.4 million. This was as a result of the reallocation by the directive of National Treasury, and wherein this money would be utilized to purchase fleet as well as dealing with some of our landfill sites. I think, Chair, by the time we got here, the purchasing orders for some of these fleets were out, but then the issues, the delivery time, because we need a couple of weeks for some of these assets to be delivered to the city. So this is where we are, but I think we will show that, hence the slow movement on that reallocation as well as on the rollover. Chair, like we are indicating that when we received this directive to reallocate, we had a challenge because this money was tied to certain projects in the business plan. This was not new money, because then, and therefore the city had to make difficult decisions to delay certain projects because of the poor performance, as well as because we don't have a professional service provider on the ground to do some of the work, So we had to then take a decision to delay some of the social amenities projects, some of the land development, the township establishment processes that we also had to delay. Obviously, we had to delay on the provision of service sites because we don't have contractors, also on the upgrading of roads, certain roads, the refurbishment or extension of some of our water treatment works, and slums and networks. Also, we had to suspend the refurbishment of our water treatment works, plant and network, as well as the rehabilitation of our landfill sites. And I think, Chair, as a result of this, some of the projects on the social services and waste management project had to be taken off the business plan and allocate the funds to in line with the National Treasury Directive. In terms of the town planning processes, Chair, we have begun and there has been some work in terms of the draft layout and some of the environmental assessment studies as well as documents that have to be submitted to our Department of Small Business and Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs this year for approval of this EIA. So, and also in certain areas we are dealing with some of the transport traffic impact assessment studies that have been complete, so that we will then be able to complete and formalize some of these township establishment processes. So this project, the significant progress that has been made, and even when it comes to the performance on grant, because of the processes that are involved in the planning project, payment happens at a later stage. But we are mindful that we have to show expenditure on some of these projects, but they will definitely show movement now. Then the city also under planning is busy with the construction of the new community center in Tabanchu, as well as the fire station in Mosadelo. And we have moved significantly. Even though we had experienced some of the challenges, because in the process when we were busy implementing some of these projects, some of our professional service contracts came to an end, and therefore the supervision on the side of the contractors experienced a challenge, and it's something that we have resolved moving forward. On the some of the roads and stormwater project, Chair, yes, we are waiting on some of these projects. As the CFO indicated, we are dealing with resealing of about 1.6 kilometers of road, and we hope to achieve this target. And then there are also some of the projects, Chair, which they have been completed and they will be off the business plan. And then there are other projects that are under construction, and with that percentage of progress, and we hope that by the end of the financial year, there will be a significant improvement on the expenditure on roads and stormwater as well. On sanitation, Chair, as well, there were contractors that were appointed in February, and they are working on some of these projects, even though we also had one of the projects, the extension of our water treatment works in Tabanchu, the contractor decided to suspend work and later terminated, and which means we have to go back to the drawing board and therefore resuscitate the project. So on water, Chair, as well, a lot of some of these projects we have to re-advertise. Some of them tender documents are complete, but because we did not have some of the consultants in place, we hope by the end of this month, when the panel of contractors is panel of service providers is concluded, that we will be able to make sure that we appoint service providers for some of these projects. Yes, on the other project there is in terms of replacing of water meters and fire hydrants and also a bit of a challenge on some of the other projects of because of non-payment, and which we hope that it will also be addressed. So, Chair, like you indicated, these are some of the challenges that we are currently experiencing. We have our biggest challenge is the procurement process, and which I think, Chair, this was mainly attributed to our SCM policy, and now with some of the budget, as one of the budget policy to be submitted with budget, the city has revised the SCM policy because it was the biggest impediment with the city to be where we are, because it made it very difficult for the city to appoint contractors. There was a panel of service providers that was advertised, but the acting city manager and the national cabinet rep could not approve or ratify because of some of the challenges. But Treasury tried to intervene, as the CFO had indicated that we had intended to participate in some of the contracts at other spheres of government. But National Treasury then said no, they don't support. Instead, we must review, the acting city manager must review his decision, and which was to take back the DEC and EAC report back to them, and that they must begin to address the shortcomings that she has identified. There were also some issues, Chair, which relates to contract management, and which some of these things is because of the system's failure. It takes forever for the extension of time for variation orders and so on, which are things that really are within the management competency to resolve. There's also issues around the payment of contractors, which some of the other projects that we had to delay in instances where contractors decided to suspend work or terminate because of non-payment. Like we have also indicated that we are likely to receive a rollover because of us not meeting the criteria for rollover set out by National Treasury. And also one of the challenges that we have to mitigate is where the department is stopping or reallocating, or National Treasury stopping and reallocating. But I think, Chair, when we deal with the ISUPG, we will then indicate some of the mitigation measures that we thought that the city needs to implement in order to deal with some of these challenges. We'll then move into the upgrading of informal settlements, Chair, wherein the city adopted the municipal wide informal settlement strategy in 2014. And at that time, Chair, we had 28 informal settlements, and which then increased to 47 in 2020. And the plan in our strategy is a phased approach in the upgrading of informal settlements. And the strategy also includes land acquisition, planning and surveying of land, provision of basic services and security of tenure, and as well as dealing with the issue around mushrooming of informal settlements, as well as issues of land invasion, which we will then deal with. So the Metro is working with HDA on the development of the informal settlement upgrading plans as one of the conditions in the grant framework of ISWIP, that for any of the settlements that is targeted for upgrade, we need to have an upgrading plan. And as we indicated, Chair, we now have 51 informal settlements. There were four new informal settlements that emerged. And then in the 2021-22 financial year, 19 informal settlement upgrading plans were concluded, and out of that, Chair, as well, is that we have upgrading plans, and therefore, out of the upgrading plans, there are 32 of these settlements where we have to fully upgrade them to phase three, and then there are 13 settlements where we have to upgrade, which will lead to full upgrade. And then there's also three informal settlements where we might provide interim services while awaiting for relocation. And but also there are also three informal settlements where we'll completely relocate because of them not being on habitable land. And so far, Chair, in terms of the level of basic services, 12 of these informal settlements out of the 51 have been upgraded to phase three service, and which is benefiting a total of 2,203 households living in this informal settlement. 95% of these households in informal settlement have access to electricity, and the five additional informal settlements are currently being electrified, and which this will benefit 335 households in the current financial year, and wherein we are also planning for 1,076 in the new financial year. Chair, there were 23 informal settlements that were targeted for upgrade in the current financial year, and three of these informal settlements were planned for phase two, and the households there were about 558. We are then intending to do this in-house, where we'll provide interim services. In one of these informal settlements, there is about 4,000 households at Les Fontaines, and therefore we have the EIA approved, and we will then move to finalize the plans for this. There's one informal settlement where we have finally completed the connection, and 43 households were connected. 3,200 households are connected with water, and we just need to commission the reservoir so that we could then provide the running water. We are busy, Chair, with construction of water and sanitation in two informal settlements. We had anticipated to complete this project by March, but because of the delays, our revised completion date is end of June, where about 192 households will then benefit from water and sanitation. We are also currently busy, Chair, with three projects, the main roads and stormwater projects that are under construction at Botswana West, Grassland, and Khaled Mutabi. And also there are five informal settlements that we have to implement water and sanitation. Here, Chair, the anticipation is that the Acting City Manager will have to sign the recommendation from the BAC, where they have now recommended the appointment of five contractors to commence work now in the new financial year. Like we have indicated, Chair, in terms of our strategy, we are now working with HTA in terms of developing the plans for the new seven informal settlements targeted for upgrade. And this will be a phase three, and also in the plan we are also intending to address access and avoid flooding in some of these informal settlements by providing further roads and stormwater network. And as the metro, we have been currently providing security of tenure, wherein, Chair, we have been using permission to occupy as an interim measure. And yes, there has been title deeds for permanent as a permanent measure in that. But Chair, we must hasten to indicate as well that because of the reallocation of some of responsibilities, there was a bit of a challenge this title deeds program received. And in which it will show that there is no movement on the title deeds in the current budget. So, Chair, initially, as we indicated, we allocated 279, and because we have lost 25 million, our allocation went down to 204.6 million, and we had allocated 31 million on water projects. 10.6 million on sanitation, and then 129 million on water and sanitation, and then electrification and shared services, which is communal tech, and then off-tech, which was the title deed registration, we had allocated 7 million. And by the end of April, our expenditure was standing at 59.6 million, and which we have targeted 9,354 households to benefit from some of these programs that we were going to implement. And I think, Chair, because of the challenges that we are going to explain, we therefore had to forgone land acquisition, and the reason why we also had to forgone this land acquisition is because some of the land owners that we were negotiating with were changing their offers too often, and which was now beginning to be unsustainable for the city to pursue them. So we had to abandon it as we had to give in money for the 75 million that was reallocated. And also we were also looking for alternative sanitation professional services for particularly some of our informal settlements where we don't have bulk infrastructure. So we are hopeful that we would also go out on tender on this. And therefore, there were also some of the other informal settlements where, because of the tender processes that were very slow, that we had to also give in the money towards the 75 million that had to be reallocated. And I think, Chair, in all of these changes in both the USDG as well as the ISUPG, we still have to inform the department about some of those changes in line with the grant framework. So, Chair, like we have indicated, the challenges are relate to supply chain management, relates to contract management, in certain instances is non-performance of contractors and service providers, the late payment and community unrest in certain of the projects, landowners changing the terms at an advanced stage of concluding offers. So we have then began to say we need to decentralize our SEM committees, and so that then these SEM committees will be able to prioritize funded projects. And like we have now indicated that we have to delay certain projects, particularly those that were in design and procurement to outer financial years. Also, we are beginning to enhance our community engagement at the start of the project, because in some of the projects there were community disruptions. We are also, as a city, will be establishing a project management unit that will entirely look at all the projects in the city, and which will begin to introduce a very integrated approach across all directorates in implementing our project. So in terms of the catalytic project, the metro is currently implementing two catalytic projects, which is Vista Park 2 and 3, and two developers were appointed in 2014 wherein the metro had signed land availability agreements with the developers. And like we're saying, this is a 10 key project where we intend to construct this project and sell a complete product to the buyer. And the funding mix is both government and private developers, but it's predominantly government funded now. For Vista Park 2, Chair, the developer, Imelo project managers and planners were appointed. We can indicate at the present moment that the developer is not on site because of the dispute with the metro regarding some of the outstanding payments. The leadership, the management is prioritizing the resolution of this matter and get the developer back on site. And the developer as well completed 90% of the realignment of both bulk and sewer pipes, and still has to complete the remaining 10%. And so the developer as well, we had to then say we can't continue with other installation of internal services until the township establishment processes are completed, because we are avoiding the risk of spending government money and then later find that this becomes wasteful and fruitless expenditure. And Chair, it's just that I think part of the reason why it took long for the leadership of the metro to resolve some of these problems, it is because our view is that these are developers and they can't claim for and say if the metro does not make budget available, then they would decide to stop and not continue. Our understanding is that we appointed them on the basis of that they have the capacity to also bring in money. So that's something that we are beginning to clarify with the developers, that you are not contractors, you are developers, and you are appointed on the basis that you have the capacity to bring in money. So Chair, this was the layout in which at the time the developer has been changing it from time to time, and hence we felt that we can't begin to proceed to internal installation of internal services until this is completed and is registered with the Surveyor General, because it keeps on moving, you know, the goalposts from time to time. And initially, these were the intended yields, the different housing typologies that were going to come out of that. And every now and then, when he revised the township establishment layout, these numbers we think get affected, so we need certainty in terms of this moving forward. And like we have indicated, this is the progress 90%, and there's still 10% that it needs to go. On others, is 0%. And the term on Vista Park 3, so this is the layout, and as well as the different housing typologies, as well as the numbers, the yield that will be yielded there, which at the present moment is about 5,083, and the number of extensions. So with this piece of land, everything has been done, completed, and to date the developer there is Calgro, but they have appointed CZR as their main contractor, and to date the following services have been installed, and there is progress going on. But Chair, we hasten to say that there are challenges in which this is an issue of funding. Like we have indicated at the beginning, that our capital budget is grant funded, and there are also competing needs. So, and we really are struggling to make more money available towards some of our catalytic projects, and in which then as well this leads to delays in the project, and there's also delays in decision making. But I think also there was also when we got money, we ended up, we can simply say it misused, Chair, because we asked for additional funding, and the department granted the city additional funding towards some of these catalytic projects, but then the city ended up spending that money somewhere else, so, and which now begins to become a problem. So because there is also the story around the 300 million allocated additionally from the department, which was intended for this, but then it was then used for other things. Like we have indicated, Chair, we are currently, the funding there mix is government, both national department as well as the state provincial government, and through channeling some of the resources through the metro. In terms of intergovernmental support, there are project steering committee, and where both national department, provincial department, yes, and other departments are participating. Chair, on the service side, like we have indicated, we had all of these projects had to cease because of the reallocation. On land invasion, Chair, we have currently challenges in Mangaung, Bloemfontein, and Tabanchu, and there are some of these areas, Chair, and the city has gone to court in the three areas to seek for eviction court order and so on, Chair. But with regards to Tabanchu, that's where we have a bit of a complication, because the other pieces of land that are being invaded belong to other national government departments. Others belong to Barolong Basuleka traditional authority, and as a result it becomes a problem. But the matter was in court, and probably the judgment is pending, and probably it will be delivered tomorrow. There are also the safety of our officials and the lack of resources, Chair, in terms of monitoring and making sure that we speedily intervene in some of this. There are already plans that the city is thinking on, Chair, and which these are ideas and proposals that we think we will be able to deal with it. The ACHOD has related to looking at other benchmarking exercise. So, Chair, there are also some of these issues that we think we might have to review, but currently the department is reviewing part of its programs, and which we hope that the review of the PI Act is one of the areas that is making it very difficult for the metros or municipalities in dealing with land invasion, as it protects the land invaders against the metro. So, Chair, in a nutshell, that's the story from my mom. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Chair
Then there's also a capital project expenditure as that is by the 10%. How could we in the 100% be attained for instance? Because we need to use all the money that has been given to us so that we start the process of the expenditure. Then can you update us also as the because on the 38th of the spring, your target was 45%. What is the current expenditure now in the of your percentage? Because by that time it was April, maybe you have the improvement that we have made. So if you can update us the percentage today in that. Then the issue of my own chair, I think the treatment that you are going to do with fine is a treatment that must be with my own. Because the problems of Mangaung are political. You may ask and welcome the presentation of Mangaung, but I don't think the officials will be able to answer us, to give us, because most of the challenges are political. So if maybe you can have maybe another plan of going to Mangaung to get a detailed report of Mangaung, because in 2022, before the national team arrived in Mangaung, there were provincial a team that were sent in Mangaung, and the center of Mangaung was not there. But instead of the national intervention team arrived to make things better, things are worse than before. So what is the role of sending this national team to the municipality if they are not improving the challenges? Yes, I understand the challenges are beyond them, are political, are in other natures. There are a lot of things, but that is why the political leadership, if they can come here and give us more detail to our people. For example, Chair, Mangaung has lost 75 million of the project that are important in all the areas of Mangaung. Can go to Pakistan, you can go to Bebenar, you can go to Divestor, is Western Mutabed and Kabanju. There's nothing, including Bloemfontein. So there's a problem in that area, and our people are not getting the service at all. There's a various grants that are not spent under the Mangaung. What we have the aspects that are coming from national. Again, we don't know what is the problem. Why do we have this team if they are not improving the situation? It's three departments. It's the treasury, it's COFTA, it's human settlement. But the situation is worse. It's still worse. The budget expenditure of Mangaung is 83%, while annual budget is coming to an end in 15 days to come. Do you think they will resolve the problem in 15 days while they fail to resolve more than a year? I don't think really if they are going to come with a proper solution. And what is the system that the national department is coming up with to resolve this? Because the midterm year budget, the red flags were there, the withholding of the millions, I don't think it's the only yes, national is withholding the millions, but what is happening to them to make the system maybe to use the money better than to make sure that money is being used if they are going to use it right out. Before the arriving, I said there were a provincial team that were doing work in that municipality, but today there's nothing that we can say is good. there's a project in Namibia that I didn't hear in the presentation that way, whether they presented or they reported about it, of the rehabilitative that next to the last part, Namibia, next to the square of that mall, Limo Mall. There's a development that is happening there. Are you personally with the owner who's doing that, or is the contract of the Mangaung that was busy doing the work in that area? Because we just hear the story that is a person who's busy developing that area, frame. But I want to know whether is this Mangaung or is it the person who's just doing voluntarily? Is there any contract between the person and Mangaung, because it's busy doing a good job, if it's him who's doing that alone, if the information that we're getting is true. So, Chair, the 6 months of Mangaung, of the intervention team, is not on my team. He never hears the result. And the challenges of the non-payment of the invoice, the delaying of making a decision, political decision, again, is a problem. Quality generally, the challenges are more political than administrative. If people are doing the work, are not paid. I'm told if you have to be paid in Mangaung, we need to go to the people to say, I'll give you 10%, pay me. If you are not going to give them 10%, they don't pay you. So those allegations are very serious, if it's true, because now people have done the work, they are not getting paid. The next thing, the invoice are there on the table. Why are not people being paid while the work is being confirmed is done?
Thank you, Chair. Can I put a disclaimer to that I've got some personal or family interest in the public? I may say good and bad things, which has nothing to do with my relationship through the Eric. Chair, I think Mangaung has presented the expenditure almost in line with what House Lucy has said. But I didn't see that in Johannesburg. To confirm what the national presentation has said, to confirm on whether the expenditure mentioned by national is what you are experiencing, and what is going to happen with the money if not spent? Are you going to apply for all over? I think Mangaung have already said that the propensity to succeed on the rollover is zero because of the history, which is fine. The other issue, Chair, staff services. I don't know whether I do see, but quantification is a challenge. We are kind of the figures from here. Site services, if you could quantify, how many of these site services that you are intending to develop both Mangaung and Johannesburg? Because, like I was saying, my experience in Botswana, I've quite seen a serious development of site services. But those type services are informed by wages in most instances. People occupy later the development. It doesn't come well because it's informed by crisis, my experience in the service. I must say, Chair, they are doing very well in my view, which is a bit different from what the experience in the service are seeing. A good development. We could talk about other things, of course. Chair, for Deepsloot is becoming Alexander. But Baha, what is it maintained? Arsana, the planner, that would also go out and see the development of the township and stop these kind of developments. Well, Alexander, I thought you have thrown the towel to say, okay, Alan. But you are throwing the towel in Deepsloot as well. You are throwing the towel everywhere. in Gauteng, which is wrong. Can the city talk about how do they confront or stop or use the planning department? About, do people still go and apply for their renovation in Joburg? Because in Kruleni, I doubt if they do. In Kruleni, they just change their houses. Whether they built on top of the stormwater, it's not a problem. Tomorrow, there's spillage of sewer because of that. And the planner will be passing there without saying anything. Do they apply, especially in Dixwood, because that area one is experiencing. I didn't hear on how to confront the mafia style, but I think in Mangaung I heard you are engaging the community now during the beginning of the project, which is what you think you need to do. Joburg, these mafia people, are they running amok to a point that you can't manage or stop them? Because for them to continually stop the project change, because it's a reversal of the progress that we want to achieve. The other issue, Chair, it may be my interest generally. What is the future of Johannesburg in terms of residential development? Chair, Joburg becomes a squalor now. I fell at Joburg, really. How can I go and sprint to Tanana or Tamal, the first thing living was okay. And we are there. Even national, Chair, we are there. I've asked this question also in the previous meeting. What is this that we need to do to make Johannesburg to be like, to revive Johannesburg, to be a city of South Africa? I don't want to compare it with Cape Town and them, but the revitalization of those old towns is very important. You mentioned here that on the invasion, there's a radio room where you are stopping invasion. I don't know when this radio room and whether you are real juice or not. There's an area called Johannesburg. I can't remember who was mom, but as you go to Orange Farm, N1.
Unaville.
that area. It developed within a week. I think there was more than 10,000 checks. Now, where was the radio room? Is in the freeway? Is in the mainway? Golden Highway. I once went there to address the community. All was the community was now serving. You'd ask the government, but you hear you are more. That's not their interest. We're here now. Where was the radio room? You are saying it demolished some if there's a willingness from the owner to play good in terms of the cost of that demolition. When last did you demolish except the length area was? Not the length area, the length. I don't know whether the authority or the national deployment has got the right to answer this question. you have been, the national deployment has been there for some time, and then the term has expired, re-expired. Are you seeing some light at the end of the tunnel where you think that you are now able to move out of Mahawu and allow Mahawu to run their own program by themselves? I'm not sure whether that question is a question that can be answered. Chair, there's one thing that is often said by this committee, Tabanchu Mawiga. Only the area saving to Tabanchu, Tabanchu, and the Mawiga project. The issue more like it is in the assembly. People are still holding on the Botswana Northwest title deed or PTOs, whatever you can call it. In your programs, have you identified anything to then assist national to sort that issue of the title deed for those individuals? You know why the Tumele for this issue of Pi X becomes a problem? It's exactly the ourselves as citizens first, secondly as law enforcers, that we are not responding to invasion within 48 hours. That's the only reason. After 48 hours, of course, it says to the invader, no, you've got legal rights. Because why? Government did not evict you within that stipulated time. You could change that to a week. The question could now, are we going to act as government? That's all. And I don't think the change of high act will assist. But you can further motivate from your side. The last one, Chair, or second last, here, Jobek, you are saying there's an area where you were supposed to pass a budget kind of November, October last year. You couldn't pass it, you passed it this year, January. Was it somehow caused by coalition? If you don't have to comment on political, I would understand. But what was the cause? Maybe let me put it differently. What was the cause for it not to be passed last? Chair, how does Tabeloma and National Plan, maybe on the third or another country, there's a gravel road. The talk about the film, the guy, okay, Chair, it's difficult for us for a rebel to come on.
Thank you, Chair. Let me close and say welcome to the presentation. Mr. Chair, if we want to be taken seriously, starting from Mangaung, there are things that I don't think they are really showing some seriousness. Let's start from the land invasion, where in their own report, they come all the way to come and report about Mangaung. Their complaint is 10 sheds, only 10 sheds. They call it land invasion. It is in your report. For us to start with the cookie ten. You go to Mangaung, all those important and check giving problem to this. Contradiction, oh yeah, go with Pavelo. They talk of 200 checks. That you can justify. And they further go to Tavanchu to prove that this report is not consistent. No number. No number. You had 10 shakes, you had 200, you come in. No number. You further say, challenges is that officials are threatened, pushing bull. What they want is, because people are supposed to deal with this shake, it starts from the 48 hours. It goes to the law enforcer. It's not about doing anybody favor, it's about to enforce the law. So I'm just saying, take a note from the chair. It will never gel well with me that really we are taking serious. I'm not sure how this algorithm is all over. You go to housing, there are developers here, there are developers here, they are told here they are not finishing. They have to keep giving them more work.
They are big
and getting more work. You spoke of this policy that is making it very difficult for you to really advance the interests and the needs of the masses. The question is, can you share with us this policy? Because my understanding, all policies are formulated on the basis of the needs and the interests of the masses. Therefore, they are there to enable the government to meet those needs. But in this case, there is this policy which I will be very much happy to hear about it. That it has been there, only now you think it must be changed. The issue of the rollover has been set, and you are saying the city was doing very well in the past. I'm not sure which past are you referring to. Now, if you are referring to the past prior, you've been under administration. Now, are you saying you've been under administration after performing well?
But, though I don't necessarily want to say it's correct that we must hide behind this thing of acting. You know, because the acting mayor, acting ministry, all those, there is this issue that troubles me. The acting is like you are appointed not necessarily based on capacity. You are appointed based on going to go and close the gap. If you listen the manner, the HOD, the city manager, now question will be, do you have the same qualification? Because at some stage you'll find that this one is qualified as a town planner, is now occupying this position. This acting, I'm gonna try to say right there. And if possible, tell us what is the target date to end it. Because I don't think it will ever do good. And even if you go through the CFO actually wrap up everything that you say in this big book, only 3-4 sentences to tell us that no, nothing is going well that side. You are not spending, you are not doing anything in a form of saying why do we exist. So Mangaoni, Comrade Chair, there is a need to assist. And with no power can I have some of the things they mentioned in this book. They will really need a real visit there to be sure of what we are saying. You can't come and complain about 10 checks. Joseph, let me just jump here and indicate that Region A, you are this lot. As we speak now, you can just bring me today or another 2 days, but I think I read it today. The man of all, when you go that side, the roads are blocked. Every time roads are blocked, they are complaining of houses, they are complaining of this. They are also telling us that, no, you can't spend some money there somewhere. It's you who wrote. Now, I'm from Gauteng. I know the power behind the Riot Act. I know the power beyond, this Riot Act. And I know why it was passed. It was passed purely to deal with the land mafias who were giving troubles to all the projects.
Now, why now it's becoming a problem? Because that must have been implemented. Land mafias continuously stopping the project. Where are the law enforcement? Because I know for a fact that in many projects surrounding or in Gauteng, where the Riot Act has been implemented, there is stability, people are waking. Why in Joburg is this becoming a problem? And when are we going to implement it? Because the other factor, as we say, it will be the issue of the stakeholders. If everybody has been involved and the community is part in the form of steering committee, it lessens that particular thing. I'm very worried about that, if that is true. But the other aspect of the chairperson, I never heard anything about the title deed in Joburg. I never, in your report, I never heard anything about your title deed. Yet you attempted to deal with the issue of the waiting list. Now, it's like your waiting list will never come to an end, because whereas we are having this number of the waiting list, you are also telling us that we have got this number, huge number, that is not yet verified whether they qualified or not. This one, I don't know why you brought it, the question of the minister. So, because this was the Mesusumi issue, Maxwell, they were taken there. I don't know how it affects you, but you will talk to us how it affects you, but I don't think it's going to be resolved today. You are commending yourself to be spending from 89% to 45% as of April. The question is, will you reach that 100? The other thing of it, both metros, that we must emphasize, is what I wrote in the notes. This issue of spending must really be measured by the deliverables on the ground, and to check those deliverables, I think the issue of photo sometimes might mislead, because they put that they are spending, they are meeting the deliverables, as they are saying, but yet we realize that the very same money is to be rolled over. Chairperson, I think for the day one we'll say it is happy to go with those questions. But thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, the issue of Mahaum, if you remember, Honorable Member, when we met with National Treasury, we were raised the concern around the intervention team. And CFO, you remember that we were given National Department that you must go back to Mangaung and train all the team that they need and coordinate all other departments. And we're happy that the person who was employed by yourself was going to be an acting CEO of Mangaung, manager, city manager. Because if you look at Mangaung, because the problem that we had when we engaged in treasury, one of the things we are raising is that what is the role of intervention? If the intervention was supposed to make Mangaung a better city, but there is no progress as we speak. And my worry now is that I can even see that you have actually accredited them to become a developer, to build houses, when they don't even have capacity to run themselves, which is the bigger problem that one has on Mangaung. And CFO and the super would want to because you see the biggest chunk of the province and national government grants from your side. You're supposed to develop more interest and lead the process. Maybe just to ask this question, how does the DDM work in nature, where you produce one plan and one budget of all the departments? Because if national and provincial governments fail to integrate their work in the metro that is run by one, supposed to be run by one administration, means that in other areas where we're talking about districts involving other municipalities, it's a chaos. It just was not visited those areas. But I just want to check with yourself, because you are here, how does you work with other departments in the metro to assist? I know that COPTA is responsible for oversighting the municipality. They might want to lead the process. But in terms of the budget, you are giving the larger portion of your budget as human capital, which you're supposed to develop more interest in Mangaung. The second issue is that since the intervention, what is it that you have done? Let me just brief us to say we find that there was no boat instructed by building new offices, employing this, and where are you even in terms of capacitating the city to be able to implement the grant? Do they have planners? Because I heard that they are sourcing planners. Do they have any engineers? Because through MISA, they're supposed to deploy engineer base. What do they have as a metro to implement the program or to implement your budget? And in terms of the Honorable Makasini said the problem is political, but even administrative, because if you have been sent, what you are sent officials, what are they doing? On daily basis, if you are deployed in a particular municipality to go and intervene, what is your role there? If the worst difficulties that you found there, what have you done? Those that are deployed in that area, whether it's the problem of legislation, whether it's the problem of, because sometimes we take decision and when we arrive there, we find that the legislation does not actually allow you to do certain things as the intervention team. On Joburg, we visited Joburg, particularly the project of the Vlieghof. We're told that the Vlieghof is a project that started in 2015. You remember? It was supposed to build a multi-story development and then 10,411. And at that time, the challenge was people had invaded those houses. The other thing that the portfolio committee found was that there were a lot of complete units which were not occupied. And the question was asked, if you have the problem of invasion, but you still have units completed and you are not allocating to beneficiaries. And one of the things was that your beneficiary processes, management processes were false. And when we left you, you were going to rectify those things. can go on and go on with other projects. And then the six-year Riverside mega project was supposed to offload those people from a former settlement to that project. But because I'm not saying how things, taking from what Honorable Seki and Malumata are saying, instead the informal settlement is increasing, people are even building on the pavement. Why are we not because we have promised that you're going to manage, you're going to we can't see that informal settlement and we asked even the question that we know in majority, Joburg in particular, majority of people who are in this informal settlement might be foreign nationals. And we promise that there is an audit that is being done and those people, they are those that have their they don't have required documentation, they have been taken to relevant authorities, and then those that have required documents, they have been assisted to be integrated in the project. And seemingly there is no progress in this project, which worries me after these two questions that were raised by that this is the key and the and the Lifuren project is not mentioned there, but it's implemented, we are implementing US this year.
HSBG.
Yes, both grants are being invested in that project, but we don't, we are not reporting anything, and there is a lot of corruption in this project. We want to know what because when we engaged with the department, we have said that the department must go back into this project. And because the city there was supposed to get the insight from the city, what is happening in those projects. And one of the areas we cannot ask it to Mangaung because obviously they don't have the system. We expected you to Johannesburg to report on the job creation, how many job creation you have created out of the conditional grant and how many women, youth and disability have been benefited out of your program. On land invasion, appreciating the processes that you are involved in. But the impact on the ground is not felt. And what is it that you are going to do to make sure that the invasion, occupation of land, illegal occupation of land is being attended? We're still having a high edge. The story that you must amend the Thai Act, yes, you must amend the Thai Act if it has to be amended, as Honorable Tracy says. But the question is that do we have interest as government to implement the legislation itself? Because if you cannot have a response team in 48 hours, if we give you a month, are you going to be able to have better results? or do we have capacities in the cities to handle those issues? I know that it's certain security issues which I don't make sure they've got what is their role if they cannot protect the city's property? Their work is to run around, make a lot of noise with their cars in the city when they cannot protect the
green overalls.
So, And if they don't see the impact and there is no stoppage of these people of invading lands or occupying houses which are does not belong to them, it's a problem. Maybe just to assure us what is it that is being done in the city. All the structures that we have, do you think they are effective? Why we don't see that impact on the ground? Again, national will still emphasize that there must be annual assessment of accreditation of metro municipalities for them to give them power to build houses. If they don't have engineers and project managers that are required in terms of build construction management, don't accreditate them. They must prove that they've got the required skills for them to build houses and proper houses. I know that in Johannesburg we visited several projects which are good quality and better standards. But the problem has been the allocation processes and the management of the beneficiaries. And maybe just to get a briefing in terms of how do you manage your beneficiaries and making sure that the destitute they are being prioritized in the system, both Makai and Joburg. So just some of the areas, I don't know whether they are in Johannesburg or they are outside Johannesburg. Is in Johannesburg?
Yes,
you have been there. Okay, all right, okay. So those, and all these projects, this multi storage, which becomes now to be gated communities, we're part of the structure. How are we going to manage the maintenance part of? And because in your presentation, both Mahaung and Johannesburg, the maintenance budget of the project that we didn't see, can be brief, and the relationship of human settlement departments and other departments that are affecting our work as human settlement in the business. For instance, and we know that water and sanitation gives municipality grants through how do we make sure that there is collaboration working together for us to be speed up in the services and deal with the backlog? Because the backlog, particularly Johannesburg, because of you are receiving people from province in Oko, Westgate, everywhere, means that in terms of your performance on your grant and your budget, you're supposed to work double for you. There must not be any sense that goes back to national treasury because you have increments in terms of your population. Last thing from my side is that
What is it that you need to go to the study for you to be able to perform better? Because, you know, the solutions to the patient indicate that it is not good performance in most of the study. Because 50% is not good. Because we expect you to perform 100%. Are we giving you a lot of money? Should we reduce this money so that you are able to have the right capacity for your capacity? We are giving you a lot of money, which over your capacity. What should happen? I know that Johannesburg might have the problem with coalition. But if the budget has been passed, if in the process if politicians are still fighting in the boardroom, why do you wait? Not implemented. Because if the budget is like today, they are passing the budget. Tomorrow we will come back and say, because the mayor was doing the shuffle and the move MNC. But there are projects that have been implemented. Because budget we approve budget based on the project. We are not approving money outside the budget and the project. But officials are supposed to continue to implement. This is the politicians who are fighting in the boardroom, fighting the mayor and the speaker. When they come back and start, they must file the report, the good report. And unfortunately, because you are here, you have to be responsible for everything. But we know that Johannesburg in particular, you're doing a good job. But we are not happy with the pace that you are moving in dealing with your backlog. And just to check, how do you relate this to our cleaner man? There is dead, Joker is dead.
certain limitations. Therefore, it's not a complete takeover of one sphere of government by another sphere of government. Therefore, Chair, what I can say is that the national government deployed in Mangaung qualified a professional in terms of skills. The colleagues were sent there, some national treasury deployed people who are qualified in finance, Mr. deployed colleagues who are qualified in engineering, the colleague who was deployed by the National Human Settlement, I'm sure is also qualified in planning Jefferson. Unfortunately, when you intervene, you inherit a system that is has its own challenges. I've worked in local government for 17 and a half years. I'm very familiar with local government. When you go back to when COFTA developed the back to basics, fundamental in the back to basics was good governance. When governance collapses, the entire system collapses. Therefore, any intervention that you bring into a local government establishment is to start on working on the system, which I believe that the colleagues that have been in Mangaung in particular have been able to work on the system, Honorable Chair. We had a meeting with the acting city manager as early as last week. Also as part of the intervention, some yesterday colleagues were there also trying to assist the metro in terms of processing the business plans, Jefferson. Therefore, the intervention from an administrative point of view, it's ongoing. I understand the honourable member the concern about the time that has taken with the intervention, but you will know if these interventions doesn't go with political stability, they are bound to take a very long time. As the colleagues were saying, there is an acting mayor. Some of those things maybe might impact on the intervention. Lastly, on my side, Chair, with regards to the DDM, Integrated Development Planning, find its origin from the Municipal Systems Act. Therefore, we've got good relationship with the colleagues in the metro as the National Department of Human Settlements. During the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, CFO, our colleagues were in all metros. Trying to work with metros in terms of balancing our books, confirming expenditure, but the platforms that we work with the metros to be specific, the MMCs do attend, Honourable Chair, the MINMEC, and the HODs do attend the technical MINMEC, where as and when they are required, they submit the report. But some of the challenges are in metros, maybe if there is no law that enables us to intervene, we can't intervene, but we are working together. And in light of the challenges that have been presented by the colleagues, which are inherent challenges in local government in general, Jefferson. Thank you very much. I will hand over to the CFO.
Thank you. Thank you, APDG. I'll start from where APDG has spoken about regarding what is the role of the intervention. So I think it was 2 weeks ago, after the cholera issue within the city of Tshwane and the responsibilities of the water and sanitation department, because that's responsible for water. I was listening at the interview whereby they were interviewing the minister for water and sanitation. Then there was this professor who said, and I didn't understand until at that particular point in time, when that professor was talking about the constitution, he was saying the reason why water and sanitation cannot take over the function of the Tshwane, whereby Tshwane are struggling with regarding the river, is because of the constitution and the issue of cooperative governance. Because of this cooperative governance, it's difficult for the national department to go into a municipality and takes over the function of the municipality. Now, it was making sense to me. This issue of the Hammerskraal is the same issue as the Mangaung and the national department. So because of this cooperative governance, that's where we find ourselves that even though there's this team that is seconded by the national, is still gonna report to the council. The council is the one that still decides on the functioning of the city. Even though they're seconded by us, even though we are funding, is this issue of cooperative governance. So this professor was saying, until we remove this issue of cooperative governance, it's going to be difficult for the national department or the national sphere of government to go in and take over the real functioning of the municipality. And we can see with whatever is happening in Mangaung. We have seconded the colleagues in Mangaung. I'm not saying they're doing a brilliant job, but they are there. We are expecting them to do the brilliant job, even though they were hiccups on the way. And as national department, we've done it. As Awit Ani was presenting, he did mention that there was a war room that went in there. We said, Minister said, I want you to go and do project by project. And it's what we are doing now. That's the approach that we have started as a national department. The war room went down to the project, looked at all the projects to say, what is it that we can do? Which project we can perfect? What is it that we can do? But now, because National Treasury is the one that is in charge of the Division of the Revenue Act, it went, it sent in a letter that he was talking about. Now, the letter now is not talking to what the National Department has done. The letter now is redirecting the funding to the police. The letter is taking the money to this other project. When you look at that money now, the money is not spent. So what did we do as national? Now, it's a minister to minister. Remember, there is treasury, there is the national department. We are the national treasury, there is human settlements, we are not putting together. We had to elevate this matter to the ministerial level. Our minister wrote to the Minister of Finance to say, can you tell me how did your team end up with this particular project that you are redirecting the money to? Because my team went, we looked, because as national department, we are the one that is, in fact, Mangaung is surviving because of the grant from the National Department of Human Services. Tell me why this National Treasury is making all these decisions. There was a meeting after that was called, but it was on a ministerial level. I did not attend, but I'm told by our minister that the officials from National Treasury were there, the issue was raised, and then it was sent in. And the minister was not happy, to say, I am in control of the grant. When I'm redirecting, it's because my team has done a thorough work on what is it that we can do to turn around the situation. You go and say the money should go to the prison park. When you look at the reallocation to the prison park, it has never moved. But when you look at where we wanted to put the money to, it was also part of the human rights package. So those are the issues. We are doing a lot, but because of all this, cooperative governance is the one that is leading, unfortunately. The Department of COFTA is leading. Even though human settlement is the one that is giving all the money, but the whole intervention, it was taken to cabinet by the Minister of Cooperative Governance. Then, Honorable Malema said, yes, we are spending. Our spending is measured on the project. Hence, today when we came in here, we said, we don't want to say the city of Joburg or Malawi is failing. We are dreaming about the project. We want to see if really there is project. Hence, we were able to say, yes, there is spending. But you can see that the spending on the informal settlement work is done in Zandspruit. When you look at human settlement as a whole within the city of Joburg, you are able to pick up as popular presentation. There's a lot of gaps. Most of the projects are not moving. You can see from what he's doing and what we are doing. So we are trying to show that now we are drilling down to project and the service delivery. We don't want to come and say, yes, the money is good, but where is the money going to? Where are the informal settlements? And now we are drilling down to say, this is the project, this is what the project is giving us. And that is what is the matching orders that we got from the minister, that she doesn't want to hear about spending and then the numbers. No, she wants to see the project. And what is it that we are doing to make sure that the project, she's tired about hearing the political, because throughout the year we've been talking about the coalition government and all stuff like that, but what are the actual reasons for the project on the ground? So that's what now we are dealing with. And Honorable Seki, we went to Kenya. I'm summing up, I know we don't have time. We went to Kenya. One thing that we've picked up in Kenya is the inner city development. You know, Kenya now is even more, it's so beautiful, it's more than Joburg. What they are doing is they are doing affordable housing within Nairobi.
Yeah.
In Nairobi. Like if you drive in Nairobi, you can see that they are doing the inner city. And Minister, I think she did an interview with, it was CNBC. She even mentioned that this is the money that we need to carry home. Because they are not going outside the city. That's in that way that people are flocking inside Nairobi. There's a lot of informal settlements that these dilapidated buildings. So what they're doing is they're investing. They're calling that too. There's affordable housing, there's social housing within the inner city. Where do they get them? They buy all these dilapidated buildings within Nairobi. Then they make affordable. And it looks beautiful. And this is what we are supposed to be doing in South Africa. And I remember the MMC went to that place, found where was it? In Hillbrow. Then it was all over the news. Sandy was against him. All these kind of things. So it's because in South Africa we've got all these laws that when you want to take those, that minister was saying, that is the building that we want to take. And then develop it because it's in the exact city center. It's the one that we can do with the inner city. And I remember some years ago we wanted to do inner city redevelopment in COJ. There are buildings that we sent to HDA. I know that there is one in Bramfontein that HDA is going to buy because we want to do it. We have realized that in Bramfontein, there's a lot of beds. They say they need accommodation. So we want to start doing, and when you look at the Nairobi, what Nairobi and Kenyan government is doing, I think that's a good story that we can bring it home to do our inner cities throughout the country. So that would be my question. Thank you. Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to two issues, that of accreditation, and I think I'll touch on the Mawiga one from the national perspective, and then the municipality will talk in detail on that. The issue around the accreditation, in 2010-11, when Mangaung was preparing and for accreditation for a higher status, I think at the time they wanted to become a metro, they were then assessed by the National Department for accreditation to become for level 1 and 2 in terms of housing development, our accreditation framework. At that time, Mangaung had built the necessary governance structures and the capacity and was able at that particular time, and therefore Mangaung was then accredited to deliver a number of functions with regards to the value chain of housing development. And they also had an IP that was signed with the province for them to be able to undertake some of the projects on behalf of the province. However, as time went on and the challenges that we all know around Mangaung, then due to non-delivery, due to the issues around the capacity within Mangaung and the challenges around the governance and the political instability, that IP has never been concluded again or renewed with the province. And at this stage, I think it's now the intervention that is there in Mangaung to ensure that some of these challenges are dealt with. But currently the IP is not concluded, so until Mangaung has
destabilized in the process. We'll then re-look into that. But safe to say that the issue around accreditation was also presented in the last amendment, and the minister has taken a decision that within the next 6 months, the department must go back and revisit all the municipalities that have been accredited for level one and level two, and then produce a report in terms of the current status of all those municipalities and their capacity and governance, as well as the political stability for them to undertake the function. It was also indicated that the department would have to, based on the outcome of that assessment, re-look into the accreditation framework, because we cannot be able to revoke some of the statuses. I think, given a number of development and also political challenges of revoking the statuses of those municipalities. So that, in the interim, minister indicated that we cannot accredit any further municipalities until such time that the framework has been reworked and approved, so that then we are able to capacitate the municipalities that are lagging. I think there are a number of those. And it's not only Mangaung, Drakenstein, and all the others where the challenges are prevalent. But yeah, that is the decision currently around the accreditation progress within the next 6 months. With regards to the Northwest Housing Corporation, let me say Northwest Housing Corporation, there are those properties that are in Pretoria around the Winterfeld Mabopane area. I think there are around 14,000 of them that the department is currently having an intervention around those. And those are the ones that the Northwest Housing Corporation has provided the department and the minister with a debtors book, as well as the asset register. And we do have a program around that where we will be intervening on the 18,000 to ensure that we are able to transfer those properties to the rightful owners after verification. However, with regards to the Tabantu Botabelo area, there are still those properties that are still owned by the Northwest Housing Corporation. However, the cooperation, after numerous discussion and engagements, have not been able to issue the department with the debtors book and the asset register that would then highlight to the department in terms of the extent of those properties that still need to be transferred to the owners entitled these issues. And without that, the department is not then able to intervene in Botabelo and Mbangu. But we are in constant engagement with the Northwest Housing Corporation. We have not been in engagement with the city or the province around those properties, but we dealt with them in the realm of when we're dealing with the Mawiga. So what the department would have to do is to engage with the province and Mangaung together with the Northwest Housing Corporation to determine the extent of those properties that would have to be transferred. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. I will respond on behalf of Mangaung. I'm trying not to talk as a millennial, but to talk as a nation. It's a bit difficult because as a millennial, I'm quite I feel. In older, I would say I don't feel good about the way that those who came before me have handled the development and the way cities are today. And having been selected as someone to go and stand on behalf of a national government as a dysfunctional municipality within a dysfunctional province, it's very disadvantaging for my career. That was me as a millennial. as an HOD, it has been difficult having been in Mangaung because day in, day out, if it's not council or councillors who are against you bringing in something to change the way the municipality is union. If it's not union, the problem. So whatever it is that you're trying to bring in and you're trying to assist, you're trying to intervene, there's always these three who are against everything that you do. I don't choose a union versus administration, council versus administration, province versus administration. So it's safe to say that ever since I arrived on the 8th of June 2022 in Mangawo, I've never been welcomed. And even if I was welcomed in terms of welcome, please come and assist us, everything that you are trying to implement, whether it's from national human settlements, from COPTA, from Treasury, from wherever, it's always, who are you? What is the girl from Guyana doing here? What do you want here? We can do all of this ourselves. And to put it even further off, initially, for 3 years, there was a provincial administration. And then, now, it's been a year, there's a national intervention. Number one, the national intervention that was invited, it comes in people. Comes in the form of NCR, the National Cabinet Representative, and secondment of HOD. When you are seconded to a department or to a municipality, you form part of the employee. Whether you are in top administration or not, you are an employee of the municipality. And whatever the municipality has put as its mandate, you are to follow up with. So it has been difficult as intervention. It has been difficult as national intervention to do anything outside of what the municipality has already planned for. One thing, we came in at a time where the municipality was trying to pass a budget for this financial year. It was passed. It's not working for the municipality. It didn't work. Now we are passing another budget, which I will put it upon ourselves as national intervention that we are the ones who have been working on this budget. According to me and according to EMT and council, which is supposed to see tomorrow, medical, which is supposed to see tomorrow in council, that budget is not sustainable. So yes, you are right in saying the intervention is not working, but the intervention does not have support. You cannot do anything if you are not supported. You cannot change an area if you are not welcomed into an area to do roundabout anything. That was in terms of the political and all of the interventions and so forth. So the municipality really has not been spending because of a lot of challenges, which we have been indeed receiving assistance from national human settlements in terms of war rooms and so forth. But there is still gaps, and those gaps we have been trying to get the different departments, as we are also from these different departments, to come together and work together. Because if there is no intergovernmental relation on a national level, how will it be there on a provincial? How would it be there now within a municipality? So on the municipal space, as EMT from different national departments, we have been trying to say, guys, this municipality for so long has been working in silos, hence we have problems. They have been spending over the years, good spending, getting rollovers and all of that, but you go to the ground, what do you say? Projects remain unfinished. I, for one, this year on clinic site, before I became part of human settlement, there were three projects, construction, social amenity projects, which have been stalling for the last 10 years. So every 3 year cycle, it is being revitalized and a new PSP team is appointed to take over the project. At the end of the 3 years, another PSP is being appointed to take over the project. For 10 years, 10 full years, you go to the ground, there is nothing. And we say we have been spending. Yes, we've been spending, hallelujah. But what on the ground? Just as you are asking. You are asking that we, I can see on paper you are spending, but what are the deliverables on the ground? And
I can safely say that with the assistance of Rwanda CEO and Rwanda Kataka from the National Department of Human Settlements, now we are getting to a point where we can see this is where the loophole is, this is what should be done, this is what shouldn't be done. But it was already too late for this financial year, because when that happened, we were already on the third quarter. And by the third quarter, we're supposed to spend at least 75% of our grant with deliverable. We had only spent 47 or 43% without deliverable. So it's difficult. It's easy to sit here, my apologies, Chairperson, and say that Mangaung is spending, yes, at least there's been it's better spending this year, but when you get to the ground, there's nothing. The EMC and province only started interacting this year. And I think this year, I mean from January this year.
What
is EMC? EMC is Executive Management Team, my apologies. That is encompassed by all the heads of departments and other managers here and there. So intergovernmental relations only started this year. You look at our DPM, it still has not been approved. Even our budget says it doesn't really take into consideration that which is supposed to come from both province and national government in terms of projects which are supposed to be implemented on the ground. Because why? Mangaung is hostile. It's difficult. So I would also plead with the committee that where is intergovernmental relations from your side? If you cannot meet up now with, for instance, the water section, we have a lot of problems when it comes to water. We have a huge debt when it comes to water. And it was very sad when we sat at the benchmarking National Treasury midterm review this year in March, and BWS had nothing to say about the state of water in Mangaung. Worst thing, even within the Free State, it's a pity it was not in the news, but I work for the Free State, for the office of Free State Minister. I know what's happening in Free State. Within Free State, it was the first place where we had an outbreak of cholera. Before it happened in Amanskra, it started within Free State in Mutak. Then nothing was said about it. I was privy to a TCF meeting 2 weeks back, and it was only then that the head of BWS said something about the status of water treatment plants within Free State, wastewater treatment plants within Free State. And I can safely say, in as much as we have funds now, which we could have used to fix some of them, within the Free State as a whole, over 80% of those two plants are not functional. All of them are dysfunctional. Only the 20%, of which the 20% are not really functional. My apologies for letting up like that. I feel bad for the generation that is going to come after me. I'm a generation that came after all of you here. The generation that is going to come after me will have nothing to prove that your generation and my generation did something for them, more especially in the state in which Mangaung is in. And also coming from Johannesburg myself, it's quite sad.
My apologies for out like this.
So yes, it is true that Mangaung has only an expenditure of 3%. And when combined with the entities and all of that, we have an expenditure of 82%, which is still nothing. We are not collecting enough. Our infrastructure is non-existent, if I can put it like that. It has deteriorated to a point where we can say it's non-existent, and we have funds which have been made available. The biggest issue, and I believe you are true, you are right in saying that we need to give you the supply chain management policy which has been in place for the last couple of years. which only now it has been reviewed through the assistance of the National Cabinet Representative Team. And we are hoping that indeed tomorrow they are able to pass it and is able to decentralize, because everything that happens in supply chain was meant for one person to say yes or no. And now we are trying to move away from that and decentralize it so that it allows the municipality to be liquid in its flowing in terms of supply chain management issues. And there is also a strategy which the finance team is working on, which will assist us in terms of our, not just our expenditure, but also getting to a point where as a municipality we are able to make our own funds available. And that is not going to happen in a matter of a year or two. It will take a long time, and support is necessary. Support is needed from all spheres of government, not just from Mangaung. And if it was up to me, I sent this to my minister Nkadime. I'm saying my minister because she's the minister that deployed me here. But why aren't we dissolving the council altogether? Why aren't we saying that since we are under administration as Mangaung, we dissolve the council as we have already dissolved administrative functions, and then we take them over until we get to a point where we can say the municipality is stable? Because there's three levels. The municipality is dysfunctional. It needs to get to a point where we can say it is steady, then stable. And it's a metro, a dysfunctional metro, the only metro in Free State, which means in as much as there's 21 municipalities within the Free State, on top of my head, 14 are dysfunctional, 7 are steady. The rest, 7 are steady. And those ones which are steady are slowly moving into the dysfunctional. At the end of the day, we'll have Free State sitting in the middle of it all, and it is just red, while everything is following, every other province is also following suit. A brief on land invasion. The last time in this municipality, appointed staff was in 2014. Last year, we did labor requisitions in July as the interim management team when we came in to appoint more staff in July, in August, and in September. In December, on the 19th of December, to be exact, during a council meeting, council resolved that there are no appointments that are going to be made in the municipality. What does it mean for the municipality? It is already at a capacity lower than 50% of what it was in before 1994. The aspects which have been made available from HR. Before 1994, there was over 4,000 staff members within all the local municipalities which came together into this metro. Today, we're at less than 2,000. You go to a land invasion, which I was coming to, there's only three officials who are permanently appointed for that, and we were able to get another three to act. The land invasions that we have, most of the areas are invaded by government officials. What do I mean by government officials? We have your sub people there, the people from different types of different departmental from different departments who are invading land in the hope that they do have sites which they have title deeds and all of that, but they are invading in the hope that me as their daughter will be able to get that thing. When we formalize, because now we have to formalize because there's less invasion, me as their daughter will get that one and they will still have the one that they have also. Most people are aware that we are busy with the five township establishments, which you will see on the presentations where we're talking about how far they are and all of that. They are aware that is happening. They go exactly where it invades there. It changes the entire layout. It changes everything. Now we have to restart. The process will get reset over and over and over again because it moves people to another place, other people invade. I only have 6 people. Council uses for me to appoint more.
Chair.
Sorry.
My apologies. You know what? Yeah. So, I just request to maybe can say, Ishok Mahawu, let's direct that to the podcast. The acting director, maybe she's so frustrated, and I don't think Gorali Moria. And maybe if we can summon the podcast is on we can also because now we have followed the public for one. And we are going to come and dispute. I know this community. They will come and dispute whatever that she's saying here. I know what all the things that she's saying is correct, but I don't think we are moving.
None of them, I'm not remember. You know, the approach would then be that, because of my recording, when we call them, we want them to respond on these issues that have been raised. And first them into a plan of action, what they must do, including the national team, because you see, the biggest problem is that we interpret the legislation and social security when it stood up. We can use a particular clause in the legislation. When it doesn't stood up, we'll get back to another legislation. Including the, because you cannot say you have a DPM, which cannot be functional. You cannot have a national, because it says national government, besides the cooperative government, you have a responsibility to provide support. And if you look at it, it's just maybe you are using, I'm not sure which document you use. You know what, during Sidney Mukumaad, when he was the Minister of Local Government, he has produced a document on cooperative government, how we should work with municipalities. And if we can implement that document, it's giving every department responsibility and it's this integrated development planning. Actually, National was supposed to lead in terms of availing themselves to IGCs and say, this is our mind. That's why we're giving National the required power through the conditional grant. That if municipality does not comply to your power, you can then hold your money. But at some point, we used to say, we cannot hold the money because we're using our impact, our heart, to implement government legislation, which is wrong. We're using our heart to implement government legislation. Instead of saying that this legislation is saying we have power in terms of doing certain things, if we are not responding, there's no good to stopping national government and provincial government to go to communities and say, you have elected these donkeys which are refusing to be helped. There's nothing that saying they cannot do that. But we're using our hearts to run government, which is unfortunate. If we can leave hearts and use legislation to implement the program of government, we can move further. So if you can ask somebody to interpret the constitution, it can use it, it can interpret to suit her own vision. And not as officials, we have to use our own version to implement it. And we are afraid even to touch things. Stop these things and see whether it cannot work. And be corrected in the process of implementing. But we are afraid of touching everything. If it's not said by Auditor General, we are waiting for Auditor General to say this is wrong. Then we can then run. So it cannot work like that. Because if you listen to the presentation, it's more depressing, and you say there's no government.
I apologize, Chair. I'm sorry. The two colleagues had to rush into the airport. I request that the chairperson release them to the DG. Their flight is at 3.
How do you put it at 3 o'clock when you are coming to meetings? When is the next day? The person who put it at 3
I thought I must raise my hand, Chair, before.
No. You're out of order, Chair.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Chair.
So this is my summarize. We're about to close the work. We have to change the time of local.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. The two last things that I will speak about is that of job creation system from ECWC. We do have one, we just didn't report on it. We do have one. Yes. And then maintenance budget for projects, we do not have one, because most projects, there are no new projects. We are maintaining projects using what we the funds that we are taking. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I think that conversation was not good. I was feeling for her. It's one of those things that you have to check. But Chair, John chapter 8 verse 32 says, the truth shall set you free, and I'm happy that she said what she said.
Yeah.
And thanks to the committee for acknowledging that, and I thought when I was preparing with the team from National, we are going to the Lions Day. No, we are coming to Mothers and Fathers for Solidarity. And we thank you very much. I think we are protected. And Chair, I humbly request that you take us along, so that when we tell you issues, we are not shambled on the other side. With that statement, I need to indicate that I think, you know, when we get into the state of government, especially in Jordan, we've had four changes. If not five, in one financial period. And that is a scary part. We've never had such in Jordan, and it has affected some of our delivery. There's a report that says council should approve for us to convert informal settlements into townships. Since we finished the report around May last year, October we thought or assumed that it will be approved. It wasn't. Government changed. When we were preparing ourselves for the new government, it changed again. And without a mayoral committee approving, a report to go to council is a challenge. And the approval for March, it was a last straw, because we were told what, and I'm going to state it categorically. Who is this program meant for, and for what benefit? So I'm just stating it categorically. And it's a saying. I know that you're saying that technocrats will need to be delivered, but it has a serious impact. Without an approval, you are unable to move, because decisions that you take or approach
approvals that you seek would be rendered to other things, either investigations or you're pushing your own agenda. So it's a frustration. One needs to also indicate that the space that we are living in terms of us having to move forward, we've got JRA and JDA that are implementing agents. But you would pick up that halfway through the frustration within supply chain management processes. And panels are paralyzed or panels are cancelled purely because people have got their own issues. And we pick up these issues. And once you speak up, you are an enemy of progress. Some of us have been in the public domain purely because you are protecting the person. Residents that you pay needs to confirm what you're delivering on the ground. I know you might indicate that you're showing us pictures, but it's an evidence of saying if you move out, you've done something and you've got evidence on the ground. No one can change it. It's always going to be there. But further to that, I'll start from the top in terms of questions. The 13 informal settlements that we have targeted, we achieved 6. Because of those ones were easier to achieve because of they were small and we were able to move to the next level. But the bigger ones, the planning department had to approve based on the council resolution and that impacted our progress in terms of moving to the next level. Hence you see this our objective. Will you be able to spend the budget? The questions are intertwined. One would indicate that as at the end of May, we're sitting with a spending pattern of 63%. The colleagues have summarized and sent a signal this morning that after consolidating yesterday, from a human settlement perspective where we received most of the funding, including the standard million, we're sitting at 78%. So there's a good potential that we're going to spend the money. And this relates to the work that is being done on the ground. And we are confident that we would spend the budget that is allocated. The issues of sites and services that is safety. You asked the question. We've got a target. It's in the slides. I think maybe I moved fast. The target is 3,657 sites that we've earmarked for site and service. And we're moving at the same pace because of I advise that there are areas like in that spring where there's encroachments and that has taken us time to be able to relocate the affected beneficiaries to areas where we can clear the area for development or completing the infrastructure. In Alex, you've asked the question around people building on the pavement. We've issued notices that we've reached courts outside of affidavits, and we've dealt with most of the issues that were impacting on our sewer line or on the infrastructure. 3 weeks back, there were structures that were illegally built and they were demolished, illegally so by a church. I was in court and we were honored to win the case and set an example that no one can take law into their own hands and build structures. In 2016, there was a consortium or a group of people that were building rental rooms on a network, which is the city's network, and it was impacting on the infrastructure. We demolished those structures. And they demanded a compensation, and we said that we're not going to compensate illegality. So in Deep Stuart, the same stance is happening through our GPs because of we picked up that it's not the people who are staying there, it's mafias who are making money or rentals for themselves. And second of all, I'll link up with the hotline or the call that you were saying, where is it? If you go to Allendale, there's a land portion that has been bought by the HDA through the province. We're demolishing structures every day because we are using the laws.
And Chair, I would request that I think the review of the Fire Act would assist us. Because the issue of 48 hours does not assist. After the court in 2017 and 2018 indicated that we should, for us to demolish structures, we should have the names of the people who are illegally occupying, and we need to understand their status. Status meaning that are they able to fend for themselves? If not, the city as the last tier of government needs to provide alternative accommodation. How do you provide alternative accommodation to somebody who's doing legal issues? We are faced with those challenges. In Unaville, Chovichu, during the times of 2016, the land invasion should have been kept, but two people died. We advised that one was passing by and was hit by a bullet and they died, and another one was impacted purely because of they were the ones who were selling stands in the area. And the land invasion was stopped and people mushroomed into that area. And we know that there are other people who were selling stands in the area. We lost that battle because of, we were given an instruction not to demolish. The stance is that, you know, the Lenesha issues during COVID that we demolished, and we went to court and we won that case. But it's unfortunate that in some areas we are faced with challenges. In the last week or two in Chovichu, we found sheds that we built not for the site. And we had information because of work with the stakeholders we demolished. And there's a servitude that we need to be saving for Eskom to be able to build their network. We are being assisted by the community and the stakeholders to be able to deal with those issues on the ground. There's an issue around how do you deal with mafias. We've launched our internal department chiefs to work with us and the community members, or those who are blowing the whistle in terms of the issues that are on the ground, because they are instigated to destabilize some of the projects, so that the project can collapse and the procurement process can start and their people or their favorites can be shortlisted or they can do the work. So we know who they are and we know, we've now gone into a space where we vetch people in the city to find out whether they've got issues or criminal records or anything else, because that's the source of us having a failed procurement process, because people have got their own interest to satisfy. So the mafias, we are dealing with them and in a programming way, because some of the instigators were being threatened. In Grizzly Extension 5, three houses were burnt purely because those people were whistleblowers. But we have found a different way of doing things, not to expose whistleblowers. So we're paralyzing or managing the whistleblowers. The issue of the inner city of Joburg, I think the CFO has alluded to the issue. But moreover, we are working with the private partners in the inner city. They're called transformers. They're the property rate owners. They're property owners in the space.
They're called?
JPOMA. J-P-O-M-A, property owners, it's an organization that deals with protecting the rights of rate payers and property owners in the inner city. Chair, I also need to indicate that we are going to get, for the first time in the inner city, there's an area called Stewart City. It's close to N Street. It has about 4,000 units that have been built and we're turning around the inner city. The fields or the debt in the inner city is caused purely because you know that our MMCs or former MMCs were all over the news because of state took us to court to say that we cannot evict or remove those people from the streets. That's their way of living. We were in court and the court ruled against the city to say you need to leave those people that way. So that's why we find ourselves where we are. And that's why the city is dirty the way it is, because we are challenged. If you go to F&B, the precinct, it's even worse because of everybody selling on the street, and that's how they make their living. Yeah, I used to be one of them, but I've transformed. So, Chair, those are the challenges that we face. And if we did not have the laws and the rules that protect others who are doing knowledge issues, we would be fine. We have built stalls for these people, for them to be able to pay a rate, but they are refusing. They are saying they are not going to pay. And over and above that, there are those who had agreed. We signed a lease agreement, but they sublet them to foreigners. That's how they make money. Everybody has found this place to make money in this world. The other issue is that the permit holders in Alex, we give them notices or we give them fines for them to demolish or do away with illegal issues. If they don't, we go in and we demolish. If we want to start demolishing, then that's when they engage or they negotiate with us not to demolish and take away their material. They negotiate to stay in the space. The Malawongo issue, member, and this story, it's an issue of service delivery that's related, especially in Malawongo. One is the issue of electricity. I've alluded to the issue of electricity that was presented, that it has been a frustration in the area. The stretch, little road stretch, which is on the way of construction, that we've engaged in dealing with. I need to indicate that I'm one person that takes decisions to make sure that I don't create problems. There are people who have invaded a few pockets of land, and we were advised or requested to do what we call a transit camp. I don't do transit camp. We audit and we evaluate people, and people should be structured or placed correctly to avoid permanence. Because if once something is permanent, you won't be able to win your development. Your development is gone. Because of other people who are going to flock in, and you have to provide the same. In terms of title deeds, I think I was talking very fast. I indicated that over the MTF, we had a target of 10,518. We've achieved to date 11,109. We've surpassed that target. And I was saying there's a lot of townships in Alex, especially where we're doing audits, so that we can finalize the and transfer property in Alex. And I also alluded to the issue that the subdivisions that have happened, and we need to make sure that we audit that space as well. In terms of the booking network, we cannot run away from it, we cannot shy away from it. It's a reality. We need that network because of the city had contributed around 2012. We paid about 60 million for that network to work and for us to connect. And if we don't connect or have a sewer network in the south, it paralyzes about 105,000 sites for us to be able to build in this space. There's an area called Kanana Park Station 6, Sweet Waters. We've relocated people from there to rehabilitate or build services in there. The only thing that we're missing is to connect to the sewer network, and it's a challenge. The issue of flare-off, I know the committee was there. I'll go back to the desk that I should be exonerated if I tell the truth. Chair, the project started in 2008 with planning processes and approval by the city. The initial project plan was about 6,000 units. We're now sitting at 7,500 units. The spec is to increase the deliverables to 11,400. There's a mine dump in the space and an old hostel which is going to be demolished, and we are going to increase the number of units to about 14,000 purely because there's additional space. So it's not a stopgap, but it's a project that's moving as and when we get available space. And we're not paying anything exorbitant. We're paying rates in terms of what the original BOQ was indicating. And at times, we always save costs because of this contribution from the developer. You've asked the question about what are you going to do with management of those flats that you are building? We're finalizing a process with the developer or developers because of that's where we're concentrating our construction of building. That developers should make sure that they get a body corporate that they contribute to us. And the sectional title schemes that are created within the space, they need to augment the RDPs or the BHGs because of those units are fully subsidized units and people don't earn enough to be able to contribute. So they'll make an initial contribution that will sustain the units for at least 5 years, and then the body corporate would function and make money out of the split in the rental units or the bonded units, so that we are able to augment and assist in making sure that we don't create a squalor for the common areas as well. But safe to say that the city, we've requested the city as human settlement to do away with charging rates for people who get fully subsidized units. And that is working, purely because you can't expect them to pay rates and pay for services and contribute to the body corporate when they are unemployed or they're earning such a grant. So that's the plus that we've done as a city. Chair, we also, the Lutheran development, I think I had 150 slides because of we're talking project by project, but I was told, Chief, you are not owning this meeting, it's not your meeting. Power to the point, tell us on point form what you are doing. So Chair, I've got a few slides that were not incorporated, but we're talking to Lutheran. You've mentioned issues around Lutheran being this corruption and this maladministration in the project. When the minister was there and we were handing out units to the social housing units, Chair, there was that question or there was that issue. There were a few houses that the council and stakeholders chose. We went with documentation and we went to those houses. We visited about 3 houses and were told they are owned by foreign nationals and there are foreign nationals staying in those houses. It was an embarrassment, Chair, because of the homeowner gave us the allocation document as well as their IDs and they're staying in their property. So we always say that we are not against getting information, but give us the information, we'll be able to deal with it. There was a council resolution that was passed in 2021 to say, in fact it was a motion that said in Lutheran, councillors are allocating units. We said investigate. To date, our forensic team is unable to come up with the results because of their saying, what are we chasing because of, we don't know. We've been there, we've done all this where we were shown, but there's nothing that confirms that people are not allocated correctly because of this court documentation. So, Chair, I would urge and request that let's work together. We'll do, if there's wrongdoing, and I know that we've heard that people are selling units, we'll deal with it decisively and we'll repeat those things. Chair, there's issue of land invasion. I think that Zakiseki has indicated what is it that will be done to care. I've indicated how we're dealing with it. And most of all is that the private land that is not owned by government is a serious challenge because of those who are, invade this land parcels, they tell you that it's not your jurisdiction, you're not the owner, you're not a victim. We have to compel the owner to go to court so that they're able to get a court order and we can assist them from there and we charge them for the services that we provide. We would implement legislation to the teacher, but I am requesting that the Fire Act should give us leeway. 48 hours is not sustainable. Thank you. The capacity we do have, as I've indicated, that JMPD is assisting us. I know I talked to you. In terms of allocations, Chair, we allocate with the provincial fund. We work together. There's an allocation team, we allocate based on each other. And we always make sure that whoever we allocate is the correct beneficiary. Here's a speed, actually. And I'm not against old people. I was raised by one. You allocate a 110-year-old or a 90-year-old a house today. Tomorrow that person has never even slept in. A grandchild is staying in that property. I'm getting calls every day to say that my mother has applied for a house. When are you allocating her? She's in Limpopo somewhere, she's in KZN somewhere. They pass her, buy a grocery, bring her here, give her 500. Tomorrow that house is not occupied by the parent, but it's occupied by the child. These are the challenges that we have. Or it's been sold to the neighbor or whoever is the favorite. If I'm the favorite, I'll get a house. And we try by all means to do away with that, but it's the game that they are playing this game, and it's a difficult scenario. That's why you pick up that you're saying most of the people that have been allocated are young people. No. Disabled people, we take care of that, but the same situation happens. It's not the child that they're taking care of, it's the mother or the boyfriend that takes over the house, which is a burden to us. And now there's infighting because of the houses out, they've allocated the house, now they're fighting within themselves, somebody's a victim. And Chair would perform better, but our rules of the game is that we need to be assisted in approval processes of reports and amendments or variations, because if you have to extend a contract, for instance, Section 116 of the MFMA, you need to advertise for 30 days, and you need to write a report that goes to mayoral and council for noting comments or objections. But if that does not happen, you suffer the wrath of you not spending on the project while the project is moving. There's two projects where we are spending 102 million rand in one financial period, the developer spent the money, but because of the report was not approved on time, it then creates a problem, because MFMA says council should give you the okay. If not, you can't spend the same because of that irregular or unauthorized expenditure. So that's why you see that there's some projects in Joburg that have not moved, for instance, this road, because of we have to follow that process to the team, but the developer has spent. But we don't lose that funding because of we raise what we call an accrual so that the money is committed on the system. Chair, let me stop there. We want to bring back the city, the inner city. There's a stakeholder forum with all property owners and ratepayers, so that we can assist them as well in terms of rates, relating rates, for them to be able to take back their properties and develop it. Chair, if I've not answered any other question, if not, disrespect, apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the response.
Thank you.
Somebody who wants to make input on that. Thank you very much, Chair. I've got insight on this one, bringing back the city. I'm not sure from human settlement how could we play a role. But I was going to request not just for minutes, taking that one or the other as a committee, we should have some sort of continuous report that we can deal with it in our separate meeting, so that we should track that. That's very important. If we can win Johannesburg, that will be a change by itself to other cities that are going through that that issue here in Johannesburg. On the issue here, letting their kids to stay in the houses. I remember in Houghton they tried to do something called they wanted to do that, so that as they do a sample every 5 years or whatever, 2 years or whatever, they would go to a house and find who's staying in that. Through biometrics, they would find out this is not the owner. And then they are able to respond to. And I don't know why we can't make this thing a national campaign, that every now and then, the department must have a tracking system on saying who is in this house that you have given Mahala to a beneficiary. You will be able to chuck those incidents away. Those are my 2 points. I think our proposal is more than for us to look at them.
I think you are right here. You know, I usually say the Act says the house belongs to government for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we should then develop a program that says, how do we then protect this house for this 10 years? Even if you give to Rosina. But Rosina must be told that this house is not to do 1, 2, 3, 4 on it, and therefore it remains government property. And as you go, and as government, we should then be able to monitor this house that we are giving to people for that 10 years and see that still the house belongs to vice beneficiary. Otherwise, we will not actually find the informal settlement. We will not actually find the backlog that we have. Because if we don't monitor who's there, because some of the people you give them the house. Actually, I say you're talking about somebody who gives it to, is given by the mother. But you have those that you give them the house today, tomorrow you get somebody to hire, to rent the house, and then it goes into the same cuckoo that you relocate that person from. Those are the challenges that you have. I think government has to respond to the challenge. You know, why we exist is to resolve the problem. And therefore, if we say this is again, the house belongs to government for 10 years, what is it that we must do to protect that 10 years of ownership of government into the house, into those houses? I think it's something that the National Department works with the provinces and metros and see how can best we can actually deal with that. We've been emphasizing that even when you do the happy letters before you give them the title, there must be an indication. If Rosina gives people a house, we should definitely have penalties in those areas. If I give people a house and then within a stipulated time by the law that NHBRC must come in and go to, Rosina must know that NHBRC would not even fix your house because you're handing over your house to somebody else. So there is the legislation that we can use to manage this thing. Let's try and be creative and see and how we then manage this 10 years, because they, again, the interest of government was to say that even if you give to our people this house, at some point we must allow them to use that house to leverage resources around for themselves. If they want to rent or they want to sell it, but the law must be able to say, you know, you cannot rent your house if you don't have any accommodation, viable accommodation, so that you stop this creation here in common settlement and all those things. And I want to agree with you that as they go in the inner cities, I think we have to bring back that program. I know that human settlement has. If the HDA can work with the metros in particular to make sure that the flat that you will not even pass in Hebrew, not that area. You know, if I get lost in that area, you know, I get stressed by that. You know, I believe I can even leave the car and run away and leave the car there because, you know, there is even the environment is very, I don't know what to say. Even the parking, people park on the street, you would not even have, they've closed the road, you have to negotiate your way out. You know, I have a child who attended school around there was saying to that somewhere in Hillbrook. You know, just to enter, if somebody comes back to park in front, another one comes and parks behind you. On the taro, where do you go to look for those things? Mm. But again, even the management, these things were not done during a party. Why should people do it now? And we allow them in our government. Why do we allow them now? Because during apartheid, they couldn't even enter those streets because what was meant for white people. So why do we allow them now to go as they wish in our towns? On the road and we're saying empowerment. That's not empowerment. It cannot be. And sell it to the same people. Hopefully someone in Chidipokaneke, that area, the same people will come and buy and cost government money again through the health challenges that you'll face. Good people who have to do something about our town. And another one is cutting the hair. No more Shama Kwinamu Katami Ruana Mod. How? But it's cutting cannot happen like that, and we then said, it's a democracy. That cannot be a democracy. If that's what we were fighting for, then we would rather go back where we come from. I don't think we're fighting that our people can just be like hobos and not care about any other people. Because the human rights that was passed in the constitution say we have to respect one another. But if we cannot do that as human beings, then we've got we're in trouble. So I think this inner city program, I think we'll work with you and policy through national government and try to understand what do we do and what are you doing and what resources do we put on. So that if we have to buy those, as we interact with those like developers and property owners, those that cannot manage, let's buy them out and take over those government and do the rental housing for our people to be next to the work. Because one of the things that was not done very well is to transform the spatial planning and integrating our people. We still have people who are working in the city who must travel to the nearest area is Alexander, at least the housing is bad. In Limpopo, the nearest area is outside the city. We still have people traveling more than 80 kilometers to town to go to work because they cannot get closer to the workplace. But the intention of establishing the department was to actually accommodate in that. Our people must stay next to the area where they work. Yes. So thank you very much, Joburg and Mangaung. Mangaung was still going to do follow-up, even Joburg will continuously engage with yourself through the CFO and the department. When we call the department, we'll ask them questions on the metro. So please respond. Don't wait for the portfolio committee to call you, because that's another weakness. Fani is in trouble because they are not going to get money soon. And thank you for coming. You saved your metros because now you can get your money. Ask Fani until they account, they must not get their money. If you give them. Thank you very much. Anything, colleagues, or cannot? Thank you very much. Travel safe.